This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning. Policy breaches and salary payouts. An audit finds a lack of final approval and payments to finance officers. Control weaknesses at Treasury Department. And the auditor urges restitution for omitted officers. A new trade union Congress formed. And National Security Minister Ray Monroe defending Housing and Transport Minister JoBeth Colby-Davis over that incident with the police officer, what he's saying. It's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of a new way. Start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Monday, May 30th, 2021. This is Morning Blend on Guardian 2022. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Pamela Musgrove will be joining us. Also this morning in Morning Blend Business, we're going to be talking with FNM leader Michael Pintard, getting his reaction to the budget presentation and communication and what we can expect during the budget debate. And we'll tell you about the Reformed Believers Conference that's coming up this week. But first, it's time for the overnight, the latest breaking news from while we're sleeping, and the top national and international headlines this morning. In the overnight, an internal audit commissioned by the financial secretary into the salary scales of finance and accounting officers, finding breaches of the Public Service Commission regulations. According to the audit conducted by Kevin Archer, CPA, director of the Ministry of Finance Internal Audit Department, the Treasury Department paid out to a list of officers sums which were, in their estimation, due without Public Service Commission review and approval and without authorized Ministry of Public Service letters of promotion or reclassification for salary increase on orders by the Governor General. Minister of State for the Public Service, Pia Glover-Roll, drew the condemnation of members of the Bahamas Public Services Union last week when she said some finance officers were made unauthorized adjustments to their salaries, resulting in an overpayment of more than $4 million. The audit that formed the basis of her statement does not speak directly to an overpayment of $4 million, nor does it speak directly to actions of any specific finance and accounting officers, but it does point to procedural irregularities and inconsistencies in how the salary scale adjustments were carried out and highlighted a serious lack of policy controls. The audit found that some entitled officers received no remuneration or increase in baseline salary, nor were they advised of the proper process. The auditor reviewed the salary structure and template prepared by the Treasury Department and found it was deficient in equitable distribution of increases. Increases granted and applied varied from $2,400 to $6,400, or from 11% to 15%, according to the audit. Bahamas Union of Teachers President Belinda Wilson announcing the formation of a new trade union congress. It's called the Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress, or the BNATUC. The congress includes six unions and two associations, the Airport Airline and Allied Workers Union, the Bahamas Financial Services Union, the Bahamas Hotel Catering and Allied Workers Union, the Bahamas Public Service Union, the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union, and the Bahamas Union of Teachers, the Police Staff Association, and the Correctional Officers Staff Association. Wilson says the executive board was installed yesterday, with Wilson serving as president, BPSU President Kimsley Ferguson serving as first vice president. Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe coming to the defense of Minister of Transport and Housing JoBeth Colby-Davis amid allegations that she hit a police officer with a car. Monroe telling the National Guardian, quote, "I can tell you that she would have called me to indicate that she was at her stop and a police officer was saying he wasn't accepting that she was a minister and that she was who she said she was. She was calling me for me to confirm that she was who she said she was." You have to bear in mind that I was listening to a phone call and it wasn't a video call, so I heard a remark. Somebody was saying, "I don't want to talk to him," and then I heard other people saying, "This is Minister so-and-so," and I think we may have lost connection after a bit of that. Well, Monroe says that when the call reconnected, he told Colby Davis to get an identification of the officer for him. He said she told him that the officer refused to say who he was. Monroe says he then asked her for the officer's rank, and she said she couldn't tell either. Monroe says that from what he could hear, there was no hostility in Colby Davis's voice during her interactions with the officer. He said he was not able to determine if the officer was exhibiting any hostility between, because he does not know how the officer usually sounds. You can read more on this in today's National Guardian. And Health Minister Dr. Michael Darville expressing confidence that construction of a new hospital in Grand Bahama will begin by the end of the year. Darville says Grand Bahama's current hospital, the Rand Memorial, does not meet the mark for the cases coming into the facility. He says recent renovations of the hospital did not provide additional bed space, but rather resulted in a loss of bed space. Overseas, the Russian-battered eastern Ukraine area appearing to be on the brink of becoming another Mariupol today, as the mayor of one city telling the Associated Press that Russian troops have entered, power and communications have been cut, and that, quote, "the city has been completely ruined." Moscow seeks to capture all of Ukraine's industrial Donbass region. Fierce street fighting is underway in cities in the region as Ukrainian defenders are trying to push the Russians out. The number of victims, we're told, is rising every hour. The mayor of one city saying that 12,000 to 13,000 civilians left in the city that once held more than 100,000 are sheltering in basements and bunkers to escape the Russian bombardment. Russian forces storming after trying unsuccessfully to encircle the area. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has described the situation as indescribably difficult. Russian artillery barrage has destroyed critical infrastructure and damaged 90% of buildings. The mayor has estimated that 1,500 civilians in the city have died since the war began from Russian attacks, as well as a lack of medicine or treatment. And the war in Ukraine adding to a hike in prices and hunger in Africa. Nearly all the wheat sold in Somalia comes from Ukraine and Russia, which have halted exports to the Black Sea since Moscow waged war on its neighbor on February 24th. The timing could not be worse. The UN has warned that an estimated 13 million people were facing severe hunger in the Horn of Africa region as a result of persistent drought. Another 18 million people are facing severe hunger in a part of Africa just below the Sahara Desert, where farmers are enduring their worst agricultural production in more than a decade. The UN World Food Program says food shortages could worsen when the lean season arrives in late summer. Even the cost of therapeutic food for malnourished children could rise 16% over the next 6 months because of the war in Ukraine and disruptions related to the pandemic, according to UNICEF. African countries imported 44% of their wheat from Russia and Ukraine between 2018 and 2020, according to UN figures. The African Development Bank is already reporting a 45% increase in wheat prices on the continent, making everything from couscous to the fried donut sold in Congo more expensive for customers. In sports, Bahamian Terrence Jones has arrived, the collegiate sophomore for the Tennis Tech Red Raiders, becoming the latest Bahamian to qualify at the World Athletics World Championships in Eugene, Oregon, running a blazing personal best of 10.03 in the quarterfinals of the men's 100 meters at the NCAA Division I West preliminaries in Fayetteville, Arkansas over the weekend. The qualifying standard for the World Championships is 10.05. Jones, just 19 years old, finished second in his quarterfinal heat and qualified for the NCAA Division I Outdoor Track and Field Championships, third overall out of the West region. He also solidifies himself as the third fastest Bahamian in history with a stunning time behind national record holder Derek Atkins and Samson Colebrook, taking 6/100ths of a second off his previous personal best time. You can read more all about this in today's Guardian Sports section. After missing four games, Bahamian infielder with the Miami Marlins, Jazz Chisholm Jr., back in action, starting at second base and batting second in the lineup yesterday. Bahamian professional baseball player is having a breakout second season in the majors, went hitless in five at-bats yesterday and struck out twice. The Marlins also lost to the Atlanta Braves 6-3 and dropped the weekend series 2-1. They'll stay on the road to face the Colorado Rockies in a three-game series starting today. And Bahamian Jonquel J.J. Jones, the WNBA Most Valuable Player, off to a slow start this season, but her team is rolling right along, winning six of their first eight games. Jones is averaging just 13.8 points and 8 rebounds per game this season, her lowest number since the 2018 season. She's shooting 50% from the floor and 33.3% from the three-point range. Jones has been at 50% or lower from the field just one other time in her six-year career and at 33.3% or lower from three-point range just two other times. Be that as it may, the Sun continue to roll, winners of two straight and six of their last seven after opening the season with a loss to the New York Liberty. Sun have avenged both of their losses this season, beating the Liberty and the Dallas Wings the second time they faced those clubs. From the NBA, the Boston Celtics heading to the NBA Finals, able to hold off the Miami Heat 100-96 in Game 7 right there in Miami last night. Eastern Conference Finals MVP Jason Tatum leading the way for the Celtics with 26 points. Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart each added 24. This was Boston's first Game 7 win on another team's home floor since topping Milwaukee for the 1974 NBA title. Technically, the Celtics were the road team when they beat Toronto in a Game 7 2 years ago at the restart bubble, but that was at Walt Disney World. Tatum, last night, wearing a purple and gold armband bearing the number 24 for the LA Lakers Hall of Famer Kobe Bryant, his favorite player, had lost two East Finals in his young career. Brown and Smart were part of Boston East Finals losses in 2017, 18, and 2020. And this one was slipping away as a frantic Miami ran in the final moments, making the Celtics win look in serious doubt, but they held on and now will be facing the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals starting Thursday night. That's sports. And that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. In your first look at weather for today, we've got deep tropical moisture coupled with the developing mid-level disturbance and favorable upper-level conditions that's going to cater to a wet and unsettled weather pattern across most of the country through tonight. Boaters and residents should remain alert due to the threat of possible waterspouts and tornado activity. Beachgoers in the southeast Bahamas should exercise caution. It's got a rip current threat there along eastern shorelines. And residents in low-lying or flood-prone areas should take special precautions during heavy and prolonged rainfall events today. For the northwest and central Bahamas, your forecast calls for cloudy to overcast, warm and humid conditions with scattered showers to widespread showers and thunderstorms through tonight. Showers may be locally heavy and thunderstorms strong to severe at times. Expect gusty winds and higher seas in or near heavy showers and thunderstorms. Winds east to southeast at 10 to 15 knots, falling light and variable at times, seas 2 to 4 feet. For the southeast Bahamas, partly cloudy to cloudy, warm and breezy today with widely scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms through tonight. Small craft caution is in effect. Expect gusty winds and higher seas in or near heavy showers and thunderstorms. Winds easterly at 15 to 20 knots, seas 4 to 6 feet. It's about 77 degrees right now in Nassau. We're looking at highs getting up to around 82 Fahrenheit, 28 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 72 Fahrenheit, 22 Celsius. That's your first look at weather this morning. We'll have an extended outlook coming up after traffic in just a bit.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. Start of a new way.
You're listening to Morning Blend. When we come back, we're discussing the day's top stories right here on your home for fresh news and smart talk all day. Guardian Radio 96.9.
Wake up, it's a new day.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Technology serves to make our lives better, so why not your business too? At Custom Computers, we've been maintaining our knowledge and relationships with top tech companies since 1987 and carry only the most trusted brands like Apple, Microsoft, HP, and more. No company has helped more businesses build reliable IT systems than Custom Computers. You name it, we've done it. Call 396-1101 to talk to any of our business experts. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to US $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage to today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, It's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to US $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We're streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at morningblend969 or facebook.com/morningblend969. Text us on the Guardian Radio text line powered by BTC 422-4796. Standard text rate supply. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Pamela Musgrove will be joining us. We'll give you the phone numbers to call in just a bit. Coming up this morning, in our 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be telling you about the Reformed Believers Conference. That's starting this week. We'll get all the details about that and in the next few days. And then in our Morning Blend Business Hour, we're going to be talking with F&M leader Michael Pintard, opposition leader Michael Pintard, his views on the budget, what we've heard so far, and what we're expecting during the debate when it gets underway. So that's all straight ahead. But we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about in the news. And in the news, quite a lot of big stories in the papers today. So I'm going to read a couple of these headlines. We won't be able to get to all of these. But the government's travel budget jumping by $4.1 million. There's a story on that in there. There's, as we read a little bit in the overnight, Wayne Monroe defending Joe Beth Colby Davis from what he heard on the phone when they were talking about the officer who wasn't allowing her through. You can read what he says there. And a new trade union Congress formed. This would be the third one now. Bahamas Union of Teachers President Belinda Wilson is the president of the new Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress. That Congress includes six unions and two associations, the six unions being the Airport Airline and Allied Workers Union, the Bahamas Financial Services Union, the Bahamas Hotel Catering and Allied Workers Union, the Bahamas Public Service Union, the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union, and the Bahamas Union of Teachers. The two associations, the Police Staff Association and the Correctional Officers Staff Association. So those are some big unions, and they've broken away from either the TUC or the NCTU to form the new BNATUC. And that's quite something. That's quite something there. And we'll hopefully learn more about them this week in our Labor Week, our annual Labor Week series, which gets underway tomorrow. All right. So, the big headline in the NASA Guardian, though, policy breaches and salary payouts. Our Candia Dean's writing about this. Audit finds lack of financial approval and payments to finance officers. Control weaknesses at Treasury Department. Auditor urges restitution for omitted officers. So, the story is an internal audit commissioned by the financial secretary into the salary scales of finance and accounting officers found breaches of the Public Service Commission regulations. According to the audit conducted by Kevin Archer, CPA, director in the Ministry of Finance Internal Audit Department, quote, the Treasury Department paid out to a list of officers sums which were in their estimation due without Public Service Commission review and approval, and without authorized Ministry of Public Service letters of promotion or reclassification for salary increase on orders by the Governor General. Now, Minister of State for the Public Service, Pia Glover Roll, drew the condemnation of the members of the Bahamas Public Service Union last Tuesday when she said some finance officers made unauthorized adjustments to their salaries, resulting in an overpayment of more than $4 million. Now, the audit that formed the basis of her statement does not speak directly to an overpayment of $4 million, nor does it speak directly to actions of any specific finance and accounting officers, but it does point to procedural irregularities and inconsistencies with how the salary scale adjustments were carried out and highlights a serious lack of policy controls. The audit found that some entitled officers received no remuneration or increase in base salary, nor were they advised of the proper process. The auditor reviewed the salary structure or template prepared by the Treasury Department and found it was deficient in equitable distribution of increases. Increases granted and applied varied from $2,400 to $6,400, or from 11% to 15%, according to the audit. The audit states, quote, this is the unintended consequence of causing junior staff to surpass senior grade staff in salary based on the approved salary ranges, which cause demoralization and more severe overlapping between grades and grades was noted. Auditors asked Treasury Department for their budget submission and found it lacking required details. It showed a gross wage amount and the justification noted to provide for a new career path without detailing the headcount and salary per employee or by staff category. Only a gross fiscal year salary estimate was provided for the Appropriation Act submission. Salary line item was found to be overfunded. This overfunding allowed Treasury Department to pay out salary increases without Ministry of Public Service and Governor General letters of promotion or reclassification. Ministry of Public Service and Governor General promotion or appointment letters are the human resource authorization for public service salary rates or changes to them and were not in place. The Treasury Department paid out salary increases out of the Consolidated Fund based on their unilateral calculation and decision without appropriate official promotion or reclassification letters from the Employment Authority, Ministry of Public Service, and Public Service Commission, a procedural irregularity. The auditor says proper budgeting procedures require submission of details of human resources such as headcount and posts, salary or cost estimate for each post or rank, and total estimated salaries, and that this should be included in the budget book supporting the Appropriation Act. Well, the audit says it, quote, the Treasury Department should be advised of their breach of policy and the solution should be to immediately regularize all anomalies and inequity. The report noted that the Cabinet approved salary scale upgrades with implementation with effect from January 1st, 2020, but again, it noted the secondary approval necessary to effect the payments never came. The audit found in this career path or salary scales upgrade process, due to a procedural flaw, all names for the new career paths or scales were not forwarded to the Ministry of Public Service, to the Public Service Commission, for inclusion on draft orders for Governor General. The audit noted that the objective of the salary increases was for good compensation to attract and retain good employees and achieve pay parity. However, the pay increase was implemented inappropriately, causing compliance-related inequities and the unintended consequence of equitable distribution in the pay ranges. Some positions had larger increases than others, as well as there were some position-level inequities. As remuneration is on an accrued basis, the outstanding wage increase for disadvantaged officers, including officers inadvertently left out, has to be resolved through restitution as it was approved. It may be considered that during this period, 2020 to 2021, due to the coronavirus pandemic, state of emergencies, calling for lockdowns and disruptions to operations, that circumstances called for actions that were outside of the antiquated regulations without proper thought. All right, that is quite a lot there, and there's a whole lot more, so you've got to pick up the paper, but this is quite something and goes to what Minister of State Pia Glover-Wool was saying, and so that makes that statement from the FNM, you have to question what was happening here exactly. So this was approved, but it didn't go through the proper process, and that has been the issue. What do you make of it all, folks? It's a lot to digest and to process, but they didn't follow the proper way of doing things. Antiquated it may be, right? But still, there's a way to do things. Let's get your take on it. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Good morning, Dwight. How are you doing?
Doing well.
And a good morning to Pam. And God bless to the entire Bahamas. You know, as I listen to you read that article, Dwight, it solidifies the reason for me calling in, and that is simply this. These, the governing, the government administration, whether that's the leadership of the country, whether that's the public servant component, they all ask the general public or require or demand of the general public to follow the rules. But yet, from indications all over the place, they are not following the rules. In that article you just read, that is obvious that whoever is guilty of that breach was not following the proper procedure. You have the situation with the Minister of Housing, which prompted me to call. Who, if from all indications, and she, for her to have been defended by Wayne Monroe, it obviously means that there was an incident that took place. Mm. Okay? All government ministers have to do is simply obey the law. If she was under police escort, then that would have been one thing. She would have been able to go where she had to go. But obviously, from all indications, she was stopped. Why did she just simply not do what she was advised by the police officer to do? There would have been no need to call the Minister of National Security. You follow what I'm saying? And then you have the situation with the Nonprofit Act, the Nonprofit Organizations Act, and public, campaign finance reform or disclosure, you know, when MPs have to disclose to the public. They, meaning the government of the day, are requiring the public, the NPO sector, to disclose if we get more than $50,000 in contributions or more in any two-year period.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, when have you heard a political party disclose to you and me, the general public, who are their bosses and who vote them in and out of power, how much money they have been or have been donated to them by their political supporters?
You want them to volunteer it? Yeah?
Well, obviously they're not going to volunteer
it. Right. Right.
But my point is...
And they're not compelling themselves to do it. No, by law.
And
so,
see,
yeah.
Don't ask the public honor and respect the law when you, the lawmakers, are not honoring or respecting the law, or you're being hypocritical about it.
Mm-hmm.
I am getting more and more annoyed over governing administrations or the political directorate of the day, calling on Joe Q Public, you and me, to abide by certain requirements, and they themselves are not. That is blatant hypocrisy, Dwight and Pamela, and it's disgusting. It's immoral. It's ungodly. It's reprehensible. It's sickening.
Yeah, wow.
You know, so I only wanted to briefly say that to all members of Parliament, you may be in the House of Assembly where laws are made. You may sit in the Cabinet, but you were put there by the vote of we, the Bahamian people, to govern properly and to conduct yourselves honorably. You are not above the law. If the police officer stops you, Mr. MP, Madam MP, please obey what the police is telling you, because you all are requiring us out here in the public to do the very same thing. You cannot lead without having set the proper example. Otherwise, you're going to lose respect, and nobody in the public will ever regard you honorably anymore. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You can call in 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Let's get some of your text messages in here. Okay. Yeah, we that was last week. Yeah, we talked about that. Is it any truth that the police officer is, well, he said that he retained an attorney in the matter with the transport minister, although I don't think the minister was named. Yes, we saw that. Uh-huh. Do you agree that, really? Do you agree that no one is above the law? I mean, who doesn't agree? Who doesn't agree that no one is above the law? Other than maybe politicians. Of course, no one is above the law. This one says here, at the risk of sounding unfocused, why is a figurehead post like that of the Governor General intertwined with the dispensation of our consolidated fund? Is that strange? Well, it's the Bahamas, so, hey. It's probably been the way it's been from that time, and so we continue to do it because that's just the way we do it, right? Because we've been doing it. And does it make sense? No, but why not? Because that's what we do. And this one says here, Dwight, all last week the narrative was nothing to see here. See, they had approval simply because one host took that position. One host? Well, anyway. The position was that the minister needed to go back and check her information. It didn't make sense to me that an auditor would report a $4 million salary overpayment to the minister and not provide evidence for why they made such a statement, or that the minister wouldn't ask why and how. Every host is entitled to their opinion, but information opposing their view shouldn't be sanitized across the board because they're the oracle and can never be wrong. We've had enough of silencing opposing views and hiding truths throughout 2 years of COVID. I don't know who the hosts are that you mean. You mean like talk show hosts? And I don't know who you're talking about, but hey, a statement was released by the former administration that said, hey, we don't know what you all are running on about because we approved this. But apparently, according to this, and that could have been clearer from when this statement was first revealed, there were people who went above and beyond. We got some messages over the weekend and during the end of the show last week about some people who clearly have some intimate knowledge explaining what happened, but that wasn't what we heard initially. But so I don't know who you mean by host, but if that's what you mean. But yeah, that's going by what the previous administration said, and clearly they didn't know what else was going on. Okay. Oh, boy, these taxes. Pamela Musgrove, good morning.
Great to have you with us. Good morning, Dwight. Good morning, Bahamas. Good to be here.
This text line is quite something. One day we'll do a pay-per-view and you can see the text that I can't read on the air.
But that's the idea of having the text line, yeah. Right? You can speak freely.
Right? Okay. Well, don't get mad when I can't read them. Okay. This person says here, how can Wayne Monroe, now we really don't want to get into this one today. This is gonna, right? Cause this is distracting us from some other big issues going on. But anyway, this texture says here, how can Wayne Monroe defend his PLP colleague Joe Beth Davis, when the Commissioner of Police is still investigating the incident. Ms. Moreau is prejudicing the case by trying to dictate the narrative before the investigation is complete. Jokey leaders. Did the audit show any wrongdoings by the financial officers like the state minister claimed? Well, something wrong happened. People were doing things they weren't really approved to do, and right? How did that happen? They bypassed some of the rules that are in place. And so that's wrong if you don't go through the proper channels. Another
It just looks like, and I'm just trying to get an understanding of the story.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It looks, procedures were not followed. I think right. It's important. I think the challenge with all of this is we just hear these things over and over mm-hmm. when the new administration comes in, because we are changing them every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back, it's almost identical.
Yeah.
That things are being done by not following the proper procedure.
And after all of this, you wonder whether those procedures will be adjusted.
Exactly. So what should happen is, but I mean, the procedures are in place, right? They are in place and they were not followed. So what are the consequences?
Mm-hmm.
Some may say the consequences was the previous party is not in. And then down the road, people say the consequences will be that this party is not in.
Right.
Without, it looks as if people really trying to address the issues that are going on.
Yeah. So and the consequences may be restitution. Okay.
Yeah.
So
what it looks
officers,
like is that they were supposed to set their budget, and the budget was supposed to itemize, so to speak, the salary scales and who would get what. But they just sent a consolidated amount. So it wasn't known who was being promoted, who was getting more, and it ended up in the case where there were some line staff that were paid more than managers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the problem where the financial secretary asked for this audit.
Right.
Cabinet did approve it, but it was supposed to be another layer of approval that really was just taking the advice of cabinet anyhow. So
right.
The procedures weren't followed. But I think the crux of this is that persons were received increases that the current management believes were not justified, because in some cases, persons who were at a lower level mm-hmm. is making more than persons who have been there at a different level.
That creates a very challenging workplace, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, but I think, I really believe, I mean, and I thought that the system of governance, the civil servant, they were supposed to be allowed to do their jobs and to do it in accordance with the general orders and in accordance with the procedure.
Right.
But I think what happens is we have so much political meddling going on in government. And that's why every administration come and go, we have these issues over
yeah,
and over.
Yeah.
And it seems as if they just cannot be resolved.
It does often seem that way. Callers, we'll get to you in a second. This text here, it's so interesting that this policy that governs the public service can be used as a blunt object when they wish to attack public servants. However, when they are caught going contrary to these very same policies, they act like willful ignorance is a defense. The public service policies are for all to follow, not when we feel like it. Wow. Okay. Caller, good morning. You're our morning blend.
Morning. Right, and Bob.
Good morning.
Doing well. Good morning.
Good morning.
I totally agree with JP. It really is disgusting to me, looking from where I am, the way it appears as if they're trying to discredit our police officer for just doing his job. You understand me? I just don't understand it. What in the world Wayne Monroe mean? Always putting him out. I'm supposed to be a QC. I wonder that mean quite contrary. Because what do you mean get the officer rank? And what are you supposed to do to the officer? What are you supposed to do? I tell you a quick little story.
Oh, boy.
There was a lady working at Paradise Island Bridge. Everybody should know her. She used to wear a lot of jewelry. Old lady, God rest her soul now. And one day, this white fella, or this Caucasian man, came over the bridge, and he didn't have a dollar to get over. And she told him, sir, well, you got to turn your car around, and you got to go back. And he said, well, miss, do you know who I am? And Barbara, she said, I don't care who you are. I told for the bridge is a dollar. And he sat there for 10 minutes, couple of minutes with her. And you know who that man turned out to be? That man turned out to be the owner of the bridge. And you know what he told that lady? He said, you will always have a job here for the rest of your life, for as long as you live. That's a quick story. That police officer was only doing his job. And it's really appalling to see the way the politician just, under this classism thing. Anyway, thanks for taking
the
part, right?
Thanks a lot. Owner of the bridge. Who's the owner of the bridge? I mean, maybe that's a...
Maybe a manager. What? Maybe a manager. Who? I don't know. Well, then even that wouldn't have been the case because...
But I've always wondered what would happen if you don't have anything. What would they do? Like, are they going to follow you around to the other bridge to make sure you get
they
off
call
the island?
Police. They call the police.
What?
Yeah.
I left my wallet at home. I forgot.
They will call the police. You'd hold up traffic and call the police.
Or escort me off. You're going to make sure I get on the over. Get out of here. Get off
so
this island.
Would you want him to let the person go?
And then, I can't drive back the other way.
Yeah, but then you have a lot of people doing it because... You were not strict with the policy, which is what we.
I'm not saying let me go.
Which is what goes on in government. We let people go, and many afterwards think that they should be allowed to go as well.
Just leave the car anyway.
No, I think they would call the police.
But.
And you could get a ticket because you don't have your toll. Escort you over there, and give you a ticket.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have to be strict because that can be an easy excuse for many persons.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't make any money that day.
Yeah. Maybe that toll needs to be at the bottom of the bridge before you get over, right? Get so that you don't have it, you can go right around. But anyway, okay. This person says here, I could believe that statement you read. I was in the public service for 39 years, and just to get a promotion before the government changed to senior attendant and back pay of 4 years. I think I read that wrong, but sure, you get the idea there. This one says, you shove off all negative things relating to this PLP government. That's jokey. Who's the you? If it was the police that did something wrong, you talk show hosts would talk about it for weeks. Independent witnesses spoke about the prime minister and the fact that she was wrong, but you brush it off. She's wrong and you should resign. Who are you talking about, Texter? You make jokes to brush off the foolishness this government is doing, and it's getting annoying. Well, I'm very sorry that you feel that way. If you only knew how the PLPs feel about us right now. But obviously we're annoying everybody, and that's good. That's a good sign. All of you think something else about us, and we're proud that we're not pleasing any of you in terms of saying what you want us to say. Okay. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Caller, good morning. You're on the air. Are you there? Let's take the other one.
Good morning, Dwight and Tom.
Good morning.
I have the videos where a passenger in another vehicle that was in the front of them that was coming out of that same area. Is there any way I can send the videos to you so you can make the judgment? Because what happened is he had a superior officer was there, and he was arguing with the superior officer. The superior officer had to intervene and allow her to go through. And if you look on her license plate, you will see that has an MP plate on the vehicle. I don't understand. What was the big issue is because and you could hear the passenger in the vehicle also stating that officer, what he did, he intervened and caused all that disruption to be tandem.
What does the fact that it has an MP plate have? What does the fact
that I can send them to you? So what does you can make your judgment on those videos yourself?
What does the fact that it has an MP plate on?
No,
what does that
not
mean?
The fact. His superior had to step in. Okay, there's two other officers were there. The gentleman was never knocked according to those four or five videos that were shown. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The superior had to step in and tell him to move out the way and allow her to get through. And if you look behind her vehicle, there was another vehicle that drive right through behind also. And that person wasn't with her. Okay? So, my understanding, the particular gentleman that used to be at road traffic, you know what I'm speaking about, right? That was transferred, who was also an officer. Okay? It's my understanding that he gave instructions that don't allow to go through, okay? You know what I'm speaking about, right?
Perhaps. But okay,
But like I said, he was told.
I can send it to you so you could make your own judgment. Is there any way I can send them to you? No, we're not.
That's fine.
I'm not sure I understand this story fully.
So we're not even really talking about the story today, but people want to talk about it, right?
So there was, this area is barricaded off, right? And no one was allowed to go through.
So apparently the police officers are told that he's not supposed to let anyone in.
Anyone through. Mm-hmm. So the Minister of Transport, was she in her Member of Parliament car?
Well, according to that caller, I don't know.
But I think so, okay. And so she wanted to go through. And the police officer said, no one is allowed to go through. Well, if I was a Member of Parliament and that was the case, I would just turn around. See, I just think that we have this thing in this country where people
would you do that, or would you say, "Do you know who I am?"
Well, no, I wouldn't. See, because me as a private citizen, and I get upset a lot. You know, you are driving an area, and you didn't know something was going on, and then the police or they said, "Go to next way."
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't challenge them in my car by myself. I'm saying this is just so, you know, ridiculous, and I drive off. But to stay and challenge it, to say, do you know who I am, if that was actually said, it just seemed to me that there's this sense of entitlement. I think to diffuse that situation, you probably should turn around, park on the side of the road, maybe if you wanted to do what you wanted to do, call whomever you wanted to call. But I think to get in this altercation with a police officer because you are a member of parliament, I don't know if that was the best course of action.
Yeah. And of course, everybody's bringing politics into it and claiming all manner of things. I don't know how.
I mean, could you give a directive to someone
to not allow any of the MPs who are opposed to your side? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't think that should be encouraged. And I think this is something that needs to be advice to a younger politicians coming up, because maybe they may have the perception, and that's what I'm saying, maybe they may have the perception that because I am a member of parliament, that I have access to everything. There's some things you may have access to, but I have access to everything. And I think you put that officer in a very difficult position as someone who wanted to do his job.
Right. Absolutely. All right, callers, we'll get to you in a second. This person says, here is the Lincoln Bain story, one that Guardian Radio can talk about. Some of the shows have been talking about it. We saw that over the, late Friday, over the weekend. There are calls in some of the papers or articles about it for this to be investigated. I think it is being investigated. The gun that was used in this and some of the language is, inflammatory. So, this is, Dangerous stuff here. And the texter goes on to say, what can be done about, people sleeping overnight in ATM enclosures at banks? Wow.
Is that happening?
That's very disturbing.
And the banks should have their security officers deal with that, eh?
My goodness. Wow. All right. Let's take some calls. Good morning, caller. You are on the air. Good morning. Let's get that in there. Caller, good morning. You're on the air.
Is that me?
Yes, you're on the air. Good morning.
A godly day to this dark and white along with you and Pam, Dwight. Dwight and Pam, you know, people's image portrays their characteristics, you know? And Pam, you made me laugh when you spoke of the women at the end of the bridge. Say she wouldn't have made any money that day. That's my first laugh for the day. But, you know, this ugliness that's happening in the Bahamas, especially with the courts, needs to stop. They got to know it's nastiness when they're going to hold people's case, you know, for decades away and not being dealt with. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Dwight.
Hi.
Good morning, Pam. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. Thanks.
Good morning, my blessed Bahamas. Let me try to see if I can speak a little slowly this morning. First of all, I would like to congratulate my good friend Belinda for leaving that old Moses School Union. See, that's what the young people need to do in this country. Leave them alone. Let them do what they want to do. God encourage them. Forget a new union. Who ain't going to be with hog-tied and no political party. Let's do what we have to do, even if we can close the country down. Because a lot of wrongs happen in this country. And I listen to my boy, Michigan. They all try to make things political. The man say, the man doing his job. Okay, the man doing his job, man. But Jesus Christ, say politician, let's run this country like a first world country, man. Nobody wants me but the law. That's why I got people breaking the law, riding bicycles, no horn, no light, no nothing, motorbike, and doing all kind of food that's popping between the cars, damaging people things. Huh? Twice, we need to fix this country, man. Mm. We need to fix this country. And that's why I keep saying to y'all over and over, ain't nothing to change this country, tell them what's going to die out, you know. And I saying that in a bad way. They ain't a man, not this country. And everything they do in this country, Pam, they do the kill me and you with taxes. The foreigners ain't complaining, no, Dwight. I feel hell out of the Haitian, Jamaican, everybody show up and having a good time. Only people complaining is us, the Indian people, who don't depend on health insurance, who keep depending on welfare. They don't wake, you know. Some of the people, they're young, they get wake. Some of them educated than me and you, Dwight. They don't want wake. Dwight, let me tell you something. So Lyndon Pillen say, if we don't fight this country, then we lose it. See, and I keep telling you, see, I talk about it. It's only a matter of time, you know. See, these politicians believe, like, people scared. Anybody scared no beliefs. Anybody scared no politicians. People don't respect the Christian council. See, the wrongs they're doing. People can see the wrongs they're doing. That's why they run kind of hard, man. You know, and thanks to make my
okay.
God.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller on the air.
Hey, good morning, Dwight. Good morning, Pam.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you all doing, Pam?
Thanks.
Doing
good
well.
Thanks.
Thank God for life. Yes, ma'am. Dwight.
Hi.
Yeah, I think the Minister of Transport, Kobe Davis, need to resign. Why say that, right? It sends a bad message. Like Tom said, if the police officer tell you you can't come through here, you should turn around. I mean, she's a smart woman. It doesn't matter if she had the PM plate on her, but an MP plate or whatsoever. It doesn't matter. She should respect the uniform. I believe someone said before, if you just touch the uniform or do something wrong, it's a charge. Why isn't she being charged yet? Because the PLP in power and she's a cabinet
minister? People aren't, they're investigating. So they're investigating to see what happened.
If that was the public, they would have done being charged. Yeah, they could investigate. And then if you roll, if it's any truth that she rolled over the police officer's foot, suppose he to consider that as a deadly weapon, that vehicle. Normally when they deal with the public, they shoot up the car. You understand? So like Palm say, she should have turned around. This is a big disgrace. The world watching. Minister Kobe Davis, you should resign. You ain't getting no shame, eh, gal? Wow. Keep up the good work.
All right. Well, let's not go there yet, that type of language. But they're investigating. We'll see. We'll see what comes out of it. One final call before we take a break. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Morning, Dwight. Morning, Pat.
Hi, good morning. Morning.
Sat here, very disturbed this morning, both of you. You know, the perception of this one particular incident has a ripple effect. That many persons have been, you know, the perception and the scrutiny and the stuff that many of us have been doing over quite some time, it comes to the forefront. Let me tell you what I speak. First and foremost, a lot of Bahamians have this thing about these politicians have this sense of entitlement, you know, and as far as our law enforcement, you know, and our judiciary, you know, a lot of Bahamians already have a negative vibe about both of these institutions. In fact, the whole system seems to be corrupted. The mere fact that this officer, regardless of whether he is in the right or the wrong, the bottom line here is that the officer is executing his duties, but it seems as if a lot of persons are trying to perpetrate politics into the way that he's doing his duty, and that's wrong. His superiors should have been the ones who should have given the directives. But when you find someone can just pick up a phone and call someone above all of them, that then it means that you're undermining the system and the integrity of the system that we have to deal with. So in essence, so I don't twist my tongue up and tie myself up, you know, we have to make this thing very simple. No one is above the law. And our politicians, I don't care who it is from the prime minister right now, if you expect the citizenry to follow the laws, then we should be the example that the citizens should be willing to follow.
Okay.
And there's a lot of things here, Dwight. I mean, I am just disturbed at what I'm hearing here. And the mere fact that we are putting politics and politicians in the middle of this, it does not do the country right. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Thanks a lot. Some messages as we go to the break. This person says, good morning. I notice that when a particular party is in charge, I guess they're trying to say, the media counts its words. Yeah, which party is that? Which party is that, Texter?
Which one? I just want to make a point. Did you follow Partygate?
In the UK.
In the UK.
Yeah.
The Prime Minister was fined.
Yeah.
I mean, there were people calling for him to resign. But his party wants to keep him. I think by the next election in 2024,
he may be gone.
But yeah, they want to keep him for now because of all the things that happened. But he had to pay a fine. Yeah. And there was a report that came out because they said he was at these parties and in some cases hosted one or two.
You can't get away with stuff like that in the UK.
No, and you shouldn't be able to get away in politics because you want to preserve trust.
Absolutely. This person says here, the bridge lady told me to reverse when I told her I didn't have the toll. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. Reverse. Yeah, okay. Let me reverse back over the bridge. I remember this story. Back then, the owner of the bridge might have been Merv Griffin. Is that old? Okay, that's the old story. Did he own the bridge?
I don't think.
Anyway, back then they sold the whole island and the bridge. Is that what they used to do?
Well, I know there was a bridge bond that was issued, and actually most of those bonds don't mature until 2024 and 2029. So I don't know if they purchased the bridge from him or they issued the bonds to build the bridge.
All right. Folks, are you all getting distracted? I mean, this is a story. It definitely is, right? Absolutely is. We need an investigation to figure out what's going on here. But I noticed that not many of you wanted to talk about the big headline, the salary breaches. That's one with a lot of wide-ranging implications there, but this one's, I guess, flashier and shinier. That's typical. Anyway, we'll be back. Got a lot more to talk about on this Monday morning. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm falling faster, but if you're looking at me with a heart of doubt, don't kiss me right now. Don't tell me that you need me. Don't show up at my house. All caught up in your feelings. Don't run me round and round. Don't build me up just to let me. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. Millions of Americans are traveling over the long Memorial Day holiday, but there are plenty of challenges. Thousands of flights canceled over the weekend for various reasons, including bad weather. And for those traveling by car, gas is $4.61 a gallon on average, $1.57 a gallon higher than last year at this time. This is the day we remember our fallen military service members. President Biden will be at Arlington National Cemetery today to lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. Yesterday, he was in Uvalde, Texas, where he mourned with anguished families of the 19 children and two teachers killed by a gunman. The AP's Julie Walker.
The President and First Lady placed a bouquet of white flowers at the makeshift memorial outside Robb Elementary School, where the community has been gathering and grieving. Biden spoke with a few people before heading to Sacred Heart Catholic Church for services where some family members of those killed also worship. The Archbishop says Biden understands and they're grateful he came. When the first couple left, someone yelled to the President, "Do something," and Biden replied, "We will." I'm Julie Walker.
Some are asking whether lives were lost because officers didn't act fast enough to stop the gunman, who was ultimately killed by Border Patrol officers. The AP's Shelley Adler.
The Justice Department says it will review the law enforcement response to the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, that left 19 students and two teachers dead. The announcement comes amid mounting pressure and questions about the shifting and at times changing information about what happened and the police response.
And more tragedy over the weekend. One dead, seven people injured in a shooting at an outdoor festival in Taft, Oklahoma. A man's in custody. This is AP News. Tragedy overseas. The AP's Charles de Ledesma has this.
The wreckage of a plane that crashed in Nepal's mountains has been found, A spokesman at the international airport in Nepal's capital Kathmandu says rescuers have recovered 14 bodies from the crash site. There was no word on survivors, and the search of the site is continuing. The Tara Air turboprop plane had lost contact with the airport tower on Sunday while flying through an area of deep river gorges and mountaintops. It crashed in Mustang District, close to the mountain town of Jomsong, where it was heading after taking off from the resort town of Pokhara, west of Kathmandu. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
In Paris, a man seemingly disguised as an old woman in a wheelchair threw a piece of cake at the glass protecting the Mona Lisa at the Louvre Museum and shouted at people to think of planet Earth. The painting wasn't harmed. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Traffic for this morning brought to you by RBC. For all of life's moments, there's one Visa Classic credit card. In your real-time traffic this morning, we're seeing some heavy traffic on Eastern Road, westbound. It's from just east of Fox Hill Road all the way up to Johnson Road on the way to Montague there. Prince Charles Drive also seeing some heavy traffic at the major intersections, so near Fox Hill Road, near Elizabeth Estates, and definitely near Beatrice Avenue. Then we've got Blue Hill Road in the usual spots, especially north of Soldier Road on the way to the roundabout with Independence Drive. And Milo Butler Highway and Tawny Gwilym's Darling Highway at roundabout, both directions, well, northbound and westbound on Tawny Gwilym's Darling Highway. Glass are looking like a much better alternate route for you, but still busy the closer you get to JFK Drive. Then we're seeing some building traffic westbound on Carmichael to the Coral Harbor Road roundabout. Those are your hot spots for now. That's your real-time traffic and your morning blend traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Experience cashless purchasing power and chip and pin security with your RBC Visa Classic credit card. Manage your day-to-day expenses and apply today at rbc.com/Caribbean/Visa Classic. Time for another check of your weather for today, brought to you by BTC. Here's what's happening. We've got deep tropical moisture coupled with a developing mid-level disturbance and upper-level conditions, favorable upper-level conditions. That's going to create a wet and unsettled weather pattern across most of the islands through tonight. For the northwest and central Bahamas today, look for cloudy to overcast, warm and humid conditions with scattered showers to widespread showers and thunderstorms through tonight. Showers may be locally heavy and thunderstorms strong to severe at times. For the southeast Bahamas today, partly cloudy to cloudy, warm and breezy with widely scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms through tonight. Small craft should exercise caution. Expect gusty winds and higher seas in or near heavy showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures today getting up to around 82 Fahrenheit, 28 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down about 72 Fahrenheit, 22 Celsius. In your extended outlook, the current weather conditions will continue, allowing for bouts of severe weather to linger across the islands as an area of low pressure forms across the northwest Bahamas by midweek. So for tomorrow, Tuesday, that's going to mean cloudy to overcast and warm conditions with widespread showers and scattered thunderstorms, some becoming severe at times. Wednesday, cloudy to overcast and warm with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms, some becoming severe at times, especially across the northwest Bahamas. In the tropics, we are watching a large and complex area of low pressure expected to develop across Central America and the Yucatan Peninsula and into the southwest Gulf of Mexico over the next few days, partially related to the remnants of Hurricane Agatha from the eastern Pacific. The system has a lower 30% chance of tropical cyclone formation through the next 5 days. And this is all happening ahead of the start of the official Atlantic hurricane season on June 1st. That's your Morning Blend weather check brought to you by BTC. Are you a BTC postpaid customer? Well, postpaid customers get a free device when renewing any postpaid contract. Visit any BTC location, renew your postpaid contract, and get your free device today.
Even when dining out is kind of predictable.
Will that be all, miss?
No, I would like that double-decker caramel chocolate cheesecake.
Sometimes you need to make a classic move. That's why for all of life's moments, there's one classic credit card. Experience cashless purchasing power and chip and pin security with your RBC Visa Classic Credit Card. Manage your day-to-day expenses, apply today at rbc.com/Caribbean/Visa Classic and enjoy 1 year's free membership. Conditions apply.
Breakfast just got better at Wendy's. Introducing the Breakfast Biggie Bag. Enjoy a double sausage muffin with two square sausage patties, a freshly cracked egg, and cheese served on a toasted English muffin, a medium waffle fries, and an orange juice for only $5.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more.
Say what?
At Wendy's, better breakfast is all day. Offers valid in participating locations. Wendy's, different inside and out.
You're always on the go. We know life can be a daily rush. CIBC, First Caribbean, you can count on us. We make life easier. Manage your accounts at any time. Apply for a loan. It's easy when you bank online.
Earning zero interest on your savings at the bank? With as little as $100, you can start earning interest on your money while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank with the CFAL Savings Express Plan. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
I bank wherever I want thanks to Scotia Online and Mobile. I bank from my garden. I bank from my living room. I also bank from my kitchen. No need to wait in line. Now when I bank with Scotia, I bank on my own time. Seniors, you too can bank your way any time of day without ever going into a branch. Find out more. To get started, visit bs.scotiabank.com/digital seniors.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong with Pamela Musgrove. And we're talking about what's in the news on this Monday morning. Okay, so the salary payout. Nobody wants to talk about that, apparently. Okay, so fine. A lot of you want to talk about what's happening with... What are we calling this one? Is it asked last week? Is it MP Cargate or... MP v. Police Gate? I don't know. Anyway, but there's some bigger stories in the news. I mean, that we need to find answers. We need to know what's going on there. We need people to stop abusing their authority. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't ever want to hear anyone say, do you know who I am? Mm-hmm. Don't you know who I am? Don't do it. Don't do it. If you think you should use that, don't do it. It always backfires. Always backfires. And no one ever says, oh, It's you. Okay, okay, come. No one. They say, I don't give a... That's the response you always get. You could be the king of... No one says, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. It never works.
I never thought of it, but that's true. Nobody right? says that.
They always say, I don't give a...
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize.
Oh, my
you.
Gosh.
Okay,
and they won't bow down and kiss your feet. Like... I thought that was you.
Not in the Bahamas. Not in the Bahamas.
They're not going to do it.
That's not the culture here.
So it never works.
Don't try that over here.
It never works. Once you say, do you know who I am? Everything is going south. If you thought it was bad before.
Someone told me that story many years ago about some prominent person said the same thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is common. And they were like, no, I don't know. So may I have your ID, please?
One day they'll tell you, yeah, I do. And I don't know which will hurt more. The fact they don't know you or the fact they do know you. Like, you still ain't getting through. So think again, folks. Think again. All right. The other are getting some messages about it, but this union, this represents, this new trade union Congress represents some of the, which some of these unions used to be representing the biggest number of employees in the country, right? The Hotel, Catering, and Allied Workers Union, the Public Service Union, the Teachers Union. Can you imagine? And the Airport Allied and Airline and Allied Workers Union, along with the police and correctional officers. I mean, that's like almost half the country there. So this is a big deal, and it'll be interesting to know what the response from the TUC and the NCTU will be.
I think maybe the comment from the president of the TUC,
mm-hmm.
I think maybe this was always in the works. But maybe it really got them off.
Yeah.
Because I thought the comment issued by the TUC president was just totally inappropriate.
Yeah, this is saying if you didn't sign on to the MOU, what do you expect to happen? I'm paraphrasing. What do you expect to happen for you?
That was totally inappropriate. And it shows someone who's totally out of touch with today's workers and society, because you don't know who voted for whom.
Yeah,
you can stop that.
And
that's
so what it sounds like.
School.
If you didn't vote for us, don't expect to get anything from us.
And you are the government for the Bahamas.
Exactly, for everybody. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we're going to talk about this blog, what this person says about visiting Nassau, and some things we talk about all the time, but you don't. It hurts when somebody else says it, folks. That's coming up. Stay with us.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We're streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for your smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Text us 422-4796. And now at 819, time for another check of your weather for today, brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. Here's what's happening. We've got deep tropical moisture coupled with a developing mid-level disturbance and favorable upper-level conditions. That's going to create a pattern of wet and unsettled weather across most of the country today through tonight. Boaters and residents should be alert for waterspout or tornado activity. Beachgoers in the southeast Bahamas should exercise caution due to the risk of rip currents along eastern shorelines. And residents in low-lying and flood-prone areas should take special precautions during heavy and prolonged rainfall events. And we're expecting quite a few of those over the next couple of days. So, for the northwest and central Bahamas, your forecast calls for cloudy to overcast, warm and humid conditions with scattered showers to widespread showers and thunderstorms. through tonight. Showers may be locally heavy and thunderstorms strong to severe at times. For the southeast Bahamas today, partly cloudy to cloudy, warm and breezy with widely scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms through tonight. Small crash and exercise caution. Temperatures getting up to around 82 Fahrenheit, 28 Celsius for your highs today. Overnight lows tonight getting down to 72 Fahrenheit, 22 Celsius. In your extended outlook, the current weather pattern will continue along with bouts of severe weather as an area of low pressure forms across the northwest Bahamas by midweek. So for tomorrow, Tuesday, we're expecting cloudy to overcast and warm conditions with widespread showers and scattered thunderstorms becoming severe at times. Wednesday, cloudy to overcast and warm with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms becoming strong to severe at times, especially in the northwest Bahamas. Back to today, we're expecting that rain to get more widespread and heavy by late morning, early afternoon, and continue into the evening before tapering off a bit. But this pattern, again, will hold for at least the next couple of days before easing up a bit by late Wednesday into Thursday. In the tropics, we're watching a large and complex area of low pressure expected to develop across Central America, the Yucatan Peninsula, and the southwest Gulf of Mexico in a few days, partially related to the remnants of Hurricane Agatha from the eastern Pacific. The system has about a 30% chance of tropical cyclone formation through the next 5 days. And this is, again, happening all ahead of the start of the official start of the Atlantic hurricane season, June 1st. So we'll keep you abreast of that one. But that is your Morning Blend weather check, brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. Still the first and only local insurance company and agency network that lets you buy car and home insurance 100% online. Try it at BahamasFirst.com. And time for another check of your traffic for this morning, brought to you by RBC. For all of life's moments, there's one Visa Classic credit card. A reminder of the work going on Village Road. If you can, you want to avoid the area entirely. If not, follow the posted signs. In your real-time traffic this morning, we are seeing some heavy traffic on Eastern Road from just west of San Susie all the way up to Johnson Road in the westbound lane there. Prince Charles Drive also busy for you, especially near the intersections, the major intersections like Fox Hill and Bernard Road, and especially west of, that's Fox Hill and Beatrice Avenue rather, and especially west of Beatrice and near Jean Street. Then we've got Independence Drive backed up in both directions, west and eastbound between the roundabouts at East Street and Blue Hill Road. And Milo Butler Highway, heavy traffic from the Fire Trail roundabout all the way up to the Tawny Williams Darling Highway roundabout. Glastonbury looking like a better alternate route for you this morning, northbound, heading to the roundabout with JFK. Those are your hot spots. That's your real-time traffic and your Morning Blend traffic alert, brought to you by RBC. Experience cashless purchasing power and chip and pin security with your RBC Visa Classic credit card. Manage your day-to-day expenses and apply today at rbc.com/Caribbean/Visa Classic.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Nassau's gone funky. Nassau's gone so. We've got a tug on beat now. We're going to call our very own. Nassau Rock and Nassau Road.
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9, Dwight Strong, along with Pamela Musgrove on this Monday morning. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to be talking about the Reformed Believers Conference. We'll give you some details about that. And later in Morning Blend Business, we're talking with F&M leader Michael Pindard about the budget. Before we get to that, though, we want to talk about this that was posted over the weekend. Oh, by the way, somebody's saying we should call the incident with the police officer and the MP cabinet minister. Do you know who I am, Gate?
Do you know who I am, Gate? No, Cargate. Cargate.
Cargate?
Cargate. That's easier. Cargate. Yeah. Cargate.
We got to get work into the police there, though. Yeah. In the respect my authority gate. I don't know. Yeah. But anyway. All right. So this was posted just a couple of days ago. Apparently, it's a noted blogger who lives in Las Vegas. He was traveling here to the Bahamas, and he wrote his blog, and it's entitled Bahamas, Why I Never Want to Go Back to This Fake Paradise.
Wow.
This was posted on May 26th. Mm-hmm. Okay. So listen to, I'm going to read a part of it. It's very long, but I'm going to read some parts about some of these complaints or things we talk about on the show a lot. And that we know people must complain about, because we complain about it. But listen to this. He says, even though I had a great time in the Bahamas, I'm going to tell you about one of the most unpleasant trips of my life. So he talks about finding a plane ticket, the choice of accommodation in Nassau. But this is the part here. Arrival at Nassau International Airport. He says, the airport is small and everything goes pretty fast. I get out in a few minutes after customs and head to the cab stand, and that's where the madness begins. A lady jumps on me with a rather arrogant air, telling me that she was a cab, quite well dressed. I trust her, but one moment I still had a doubt, and there I see a police officer coming towards me and telling me that she is not a cab, and that I have to go to the cab rank. Always be suspicious, and advice to never forget when you are on vacation and you think that nothing can happen to you.
Okay. Now, when you travel, particularly to the U.S., mm-hmm. right, do you find it for most airports to be organized? You know where to go for a taxi cab?
No, it's always confusing.
Huh?
I find a lot of confusion sometimes.
Well, I find it to be organized.
Yeah?
Like, okay,
with signs everywhere.
Where, you know where to go for the taxi cab.
Uh-huh.
You know this is the line for the
maybe
cab.
Maybe it depends on the airport. I've been to a couple of airports like, what's happening? Where are we supposed to go? And but I'm sure I can imagine that not all would be like that.
In recent times, I've traveled, and mm-hmm. that's what I got. So we had to wait on the line for the cab driver. If you didn't order Uber or if you didn't order a car, mm-hmm. you had to wait on the line for the cab driver. It was a long line, but I find that to be organized.
Mm, okay.
We need something like that. More signs here. In the country.
Yeah.
If you have, I don't know what they're called. I know back in the day when my mom used to use them, they call hawkers. Hawkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
They still call them that.
Okay. They should not be in the area of the cab drivers.
Yeah.
He should be properly marked. So it shouldn't be a case where just because the police officer appeared at that point,
he was lucky. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so listen to this. I get into the cab, and I can tell him the destination. It's necessary to know that the cabs do not post any tariffs and do not have meters. I understood at once I was going to have a surprise when I arrived on the spot.
Okay, stop there. Now, how many times have we spoken about the fact that our taxi cab drivers do not have meters?
It feels like weekly.
Right?
It's probably not weekly, but it feels like weekly.
And I think we have doubled down on this thing of not allowing taxi cab drivers because they were just recently issued license plate in the same old archaic way mm-hmm. that we have done in time past. So we're not moving away from that right now.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's important, because you see what happened when you read on in the story.
Yeah. He goes on to say, on the official website of the ministry for my trip, it was indicated that it would cost me about $35, tolls and taxes included. During the trip, the driver is very quiet and suddenly turns to me, not looking at the road, which was a big stress for me, and offers me some drugs because, as he told me, quote, it's nice to have fun here.
Now, I'm shocked by that. I'm terribly shocked. Maybe some people may say, what? That happens all the time. I'm shocked that happened. But I can understand it because there is no vetting process for persons to have a taxi cab.
there's no proper standardized vetting process. If we had a CAB system, then we can put the responsibility on the company to vet.
Yeah. I suspect this would still happen, but there would be a place where you could complain,
yeah,
and that person could be out of a job or go to jail. Anyway, they go on to say, I refuse and immediately start to feel uncomfortable and I don't know what to do and I'm in a foreign country, but I don't know if he's joking or if he's serious. And above all, I have to admit that I was a little bit afraid. We're about 15 minutes away from the hotel. I don't say another word, and I just can't wait to get to my hotel and leave his car. I get out of his car, and surprise, he asked me for $60. Mm-hmm. That is to say, almost double the rate officially announced by the Ministry of Transport. And on top of that, he allows himself to expect a tip from me. I look at him with a rather annoyed look, and make him understand that our exchanges stopped there. Anyway, I finally arrived at the hotel. It was only an isolated event, and I say to myself now, you're going to enjoy your vacation, but in fact, not really. So he gets to the hotel, and he doesn't have any real issues there. But he decides...
The SIM. He said he bought a local SIM card.
Yeah, because it was a lot of money.
And that's what I do when I travel.
Yeah.
I have a SIM card. I take out my... that company card and I put it in because it's too expensive.
It's too much. Yeah, that's
always too expensive.
A problem. Yeah. All right. So he says, as I already told you, I didn't want to spend all my stay in the hotel and I really wanted to visit a part of the island and discover the local life. Following the cab experience, I decided to walk from the hotel to the city center, about an hour walk, which also allowed me to stroll around and take some pictures. With Google Map in my pocket, and this is the SIM card part there. He bought a local SIM card. I headed to downtown Nassau. Oh dear. About 10 minutes after leaving the hotel, a big rain shower starts, which is normal in a tropical country. What I didn't anticipate was the fact that the island had a very bad water evacuation system. In a few minutes, the water rises to a height of 30 centimeters and, the water almost arrives at the level of my knees. But it is not the worst. The water is disgusting because it's probably mixed with the wastewater of the few evacuations. Hello, Paradise, I guess he means the
draining
systems.
How many times it rained and we talk about that?
Yeah.
Downtown.
Downtown's a disaster.
It's a disaster. A total disaster.
And we see it. We see the tourists trying to get through it and others.
See, this is what infrastructure spending is all about. Mm-hmm. Like really coming up with a plan to deal with that.
Yeah.
Because that will affect tourism.
He says, I had two choices, continue my walk or return to the hotel. In both cases, I had to walk in the water for several hundred meters. I decided to continue. It is a vacation. During my hour of walking, well, almost 2 hours, since I walked slowly on the flooded part of the path, I counted the number of times a cab stopped at my level to offer me a ride. 80. Almost every minute, a horn or a yell to offer me a ride, harassing, especially on vacation.
So they saw someone that looked like a tourist and figured they needed a ride.
Yeah.
But then us Bahamians,
we have
to buy 3,000 Japanese cars in order to get from point A to point B or use the bus system because we don't have a proper taxi cab.
Five pieces of luggage by yourself and no one would ask you if you needed
it. No cab driver
Nobody.
Would stop.
Not one.
But 80, he said, 80. According to him. Because he looked like a tourist, and that's why we are in business, to cater to you.
This one says, I finally arrive on the main street, passing by a series of buildings totally abandoned and in a lamentable state. I would say on 100 meters, then suddenly here I am in front of luxury brand stores just by having crossed the street. It's a pity that the city doesn't take care of its old buildings, which are sublime, but with which time is really deteriorating. In some streets, I didn't feel safe at all. There's big drug traffic on the island, and it doesn't seem to bother anyone. Okay. But he says, really nice people. In restaurants, bars, or hotels, Bahamians are very smiling and friendly. This was a positive point that allowed me to spend a good time in my hotel. After my walking tour in the city and everything that happened, I didn't feel like going out anymore. I decided to enjoy the bar, the pool, the beach, and the sun to rest. And then he talks about tips and how gratuity is there, but you might still feel compelled to add more, and you have to watch out for that. But he says, despite my history, the drug everywhere, the harassment of cabs and drivers who are not what? I still invite you to visit this island, hoping that you will have a better experience. All right, so that's one. I've retweeted that on our Twitter page there, but you can read it for yourself. And just an interesting perspective there. Some of it surprising, most of it not, though, because...
Because of his experience, he spent a lot more time in the hotel as opposed to experiencing the culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
And spending some money in the community.
Yeah, we got to move on, but I just want to quickly read some of your messages that have come in here. Someone says, from the airport to PI is $100. I guess it's saying he should have known that. But that's a lot. That's a real lot, though. Come on.
But if you had a meter, I think it would be more, it would be more, like, reliable. It would, you know, they have more trust in the system, mm-hmm. as opposed to you just telling me, okay, this is the amount. Because it could be this amount today and it could be a different amount tomorrow.
Yeah, right, right. And as you say, people are adding, as he said, people are adding tips mm-hmm. on to it and expecting other things, I guess, depending on the number of bags you have. Boy, this person says here, stop playing oblivious. I know you've seen the video with the American guy directing the nation to where the prostitution ring is downtown. We all know what's going on in this country. And okay, we're not playing oblivious.
No,
we're just saying, what are we doing?
That.
What? Oh, you haven't seen that one? Oh, okay.
It, no.
But what's being
Honestly,
done?
I haven't seen it. No.
I'll send it to you. What's being done? What's being done about it? What's being done about it? This one says here, no matter how bad the blog is, nothing will change. No matter how bad the tourist experience is, the tourist product is awful in the Bahamas. Yikes. And this one says, have you heard anything from the Minister of Tourism yet? How many months has it been since we had the urgent meeting with the downtown owners? I told you from then it was all PR. The government seems to think their success begins and ends on PR and not much else. This person says here, it's clear the part about drugs is a lie. Yeah? Okay. This one says here, this story is so embellished, that Our Walk and knee-high water. I mean, can you say that? We all know downtown and floods and Dalzell Street floods. We've
yeah.
seen it before. It would be definitely ankle to knee-high. It's
mm-hmm.
terrible.
Yeah.
If you were stuck in that one day, I mean, the wrong time, it could happen. Definitely cars stall out. Cars go through it. People are terrified to drive mm-hmm. through downtown if it's raining. But what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? All right. So think about that, folks. Think about that. Some of these things we know they're happening, but you see, another person says I heard no lies in this blog. Okay. Uh-huh.
Well, how many followers? Do you know how many followers he has?
I don't know.
But he's a blogger, and some persons reading that, you know, may decide based on that not to visit us. So I think we need to address those issues, mm-hmm. look and determine if what he's saying is in fact correct, and then put in measures in place to see how we can address it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So lots of text coming in about the rate, the taxi rate. But, you know, this system, as Pam is saying, right, it can be manipulated, and that's the problem.
We want some immediate cabs. You could keep the taxi cab drivers, let them stick with the airport, the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
We want some metered cabs.
Yeah. I don't think many of us would get into a cab in another part of the world that doesn't have a meter.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this. I don't understand. And again, this is an opportunity, apparently, for somebody out there. But anyway, we'll take a break. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Nassau's got soul now. Oh, yeah.
You're always on the go. We know life can be a daily rush. CIBC, First Caribbean, you can count on us. We make life easier. Manage your accounts at any time. Apply for a loan. It's easy when you bank online.
Doctors Hospital's Pharmacy introduces a new spin on prescriptions called Pick Up Now, Pay Later. That's right. You can collect your medications first and pay after. How does it work? Step 1, submit a prescription online. Step 2, select the pickup site. Step 3, collect your medication. And step 4, pay online within 14 days. For more info, call us at 242-302-4785 or visit us at doctorshosp.com.
Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Street, has those hard-to-find fasteners for you right now. You can find stainless steel regular hex, carriage bolts, galvanized bolts, threaded rods, nails, self-tap screws, sex bolts, anchor bolts, turnbuckles, masonry tools, hand tools, and weed whacker strings. Check out the rope selection and car body fasteners, too. Special orders are welcome. It's your number one fastener store. Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Streets. Call 326-1976.
Stand on Bahamas, it's your boy, Sawyer Boy. COVID is clearly unpredictable. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. I'm young, and it still put a beating on me. I had no other option but to go to the hospital. I remember the doctor telling me if I had waited one more day, I wasn't going to come inside here alive. You don't want to be in the same position that I was in. Vaccines may not stop you from getting COVID, but it can stop you from getting COVID the way I had COVID. You don't want that way.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You can't hurry, my God. No, no, no. You just got to wait. You got to trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes. He's a God, we just can't hurry.
We're back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strano with Pamela Musgrove. Changing gears now, talking about the upcoming Reform Believers Conference. And here to give us all the details about this, very pleased to welcome back to the show from Kingdom Life Church, Pastor Cedric Moss. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Dwight. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning.
Always a pleasure to have you with us.
Always a pleasure to be here.
All right, so now this is definitely not the first Reformed Believers Conference, right?
No, it is not. This is actually the third.
Right.
It would have been the fifth had COVID not come. So mm-hmm. for 2 years, we were not able to have the conference. So we are resuming on Thursday night through the Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, glad that it's back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so tell us about it. How did the genesis of the conference, and we can talk specifically about this one.
Sure. Well, the genesis of the conference is really rooted in our concern for the state of theology in the country and just people's awareness of God and who he is and what his word says. And so the conference really was to meet that void and that need to help people to understand that God is sovereign, that scripture is authoritative, mm-hmm. and that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not by works and moralism. And the big concern for us here is that much of what we see in our country is just a works kind of religion, which is contrary to Scripture.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go a little bit deeper on that. What do you mean specifically there?
Well, you'd hear a lot of moralism preached. So they'll say, you need to stop drinking, you need to stop smoking, you need to stop going to the club, stop committing adultery. And basically what they get is just behavior change. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't last. Mm-hmm. The gospel transforms us from the inside. And then the evidence of that really comes on the outside.
Right.
So moralism is much of what we see. When you think about it, think of the thousands of churches we have in this country. There is no way, if these were legitimate expressions of what we see in the Bible, that our country would be what it is. Mm-hmm. We cannot have true Christianity in that way, in a widespread way. So I tend to think about what we have as cultural Christianity, not biblical Christianity.
Mm-hmm. My goodness.
There's a scripture in the Bible, and I may be paraphrasing, that there are persons who are hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Yeah. So how much of that do you think is prevalent in our country?
Yeah, a lot of that is prevalent in our country, but I think it's an even deeper issue than that, and that is, what word are they hearing? Mm-hmm. A lot of times you go to a church, the pastor reads a scripture, closes Bible, and talks politics.
Wow.
And that's not going to transform anyone. And then at the end, they say, pray the sinner's prayer. Mm-hmm. And people repeat after them and think that they are converted, and they're not.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. Okay, so this year, Your theme is, who is God?
That's right.
Yeah, that's a big
who
theme.
Who is God? Yeah, it's quite amazing that, and startling to think that there are some people who are worshiping an idol, mm-hmm. who they think is God. But God has revealed himself in Scripture. So let me just read three verses from Jeremiah 29, verses 23 to 24. It reads, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So the Lord says, the only worthy endeavor to boast in is that you know and understand him. And then he goes on to talk about three of his attributes: justice, righteousness, and love. Mm-hmm. And to really know God is to know who he is revealed in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And the way he reveals himself is through his attributes. And so the conference is going to be focused on studying these attributes of God, like his sovereignty, his independence, his justice and mercy and so forth, mm-hmm. his love.
You said earlier that some people are worshiping an idol.
That's right.
Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, if you're not worshiping the God of Scripture, you are worshiping an idol. Mm-hmm. And if you do not know him, then who are you really worshiping? And so what the Lord says is that we should boast in the fact that we know him and we understand him, and that these are his characteristics, at least some of them: love, justice, and righteousness. And so there are just many people who don't know the God of Scripture.
Mm-hmm. So some people may be thinking that they're worshiping God, and like you said, they're not. They're mm-hmm. worshiping an idol. So then, how do you help people to know this God and to know whom they are worshiping?
Yeah, I don't think that people are certainly worshiping an idol intentionally. I think many are very sincere. But God reveals himself in Scripture. That is the only authoritative revelation that we have of who God is. Mm-hmm. So he reveals himself in Scripture. So we point them to Scripture to say, mm-hmm. you have to go back to God's word for yourself, and to see how he reveals himself in his word.
All right, so let's talk about some of the topics you're going to be covering at the conference, and what you're hoping to get out of some of these.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the main goal of the conference is to help those who attend to grow in their knowledge of the Lord by learning about his attributes, how he has revealed himself in Scripture. So, for example, one of the attributes of God is that he is unchanging. God is immutable, is what the theologians will say. And when we really understand that God is unchanging, that brings comfort to us, because we can stand on his word. We know it's not going to change. We know that if God loves us, he's not going to stop loving us. We know that God cannot lie. We know that God cannot die. We know that God is perfect in all of his ways. And so when we learn about who he is, then we grow in our faith and our trust in Him. So another is God is sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing. There is no one who is outside of the absolute control and rule of God. Hurricanes, for example, Pam talked about a lightning strike that, mm-hmm. that she experienced. That happens under the hand of a sovereign God. And so if we lived in a world where anything happened outside of God's sovereignty, then we really could not have faith to even live life and mm-hmm. to trust the day-to-day interactions that we have. But mm-hmm. belief in a sovereign God, and not only that He's sovereign, that He's also perfectly good.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
no matter what happens.
No matter what happens.
So what do you say to the people who've experienced extreme tragedy? They've lost children, they've lost loved ones, and question.
Very
question
good question,
God.
Right. Very good question. And that's one of the points that we will seek to remind people about, is that all of God's attributes are true about Him all of the time and perfectly so. So God is not just partly good and then partly sovereign and partly just. He is fully sovereign, fully good, and fully just. So the person who's experienced tragedy and is hearing that God is sovereign and nothing happens outside of His sovereign will, that person also needs to bear in mind that God is good. And holding that in tension as well with the fact that God is sovereign, we trust Him in the process. It's not to say that we are able to grasp and understand all of these things, mm-hmm. but we hold to what Scripture says, that Scripture says both God is sovereign and God is good, perfectly so.
Mm-hmm. So how does one reconcile that? You experience a tragedy and God is sovereign and He's good and He could have stopped it from happening, but He didn't. How does that person reconcile that to all these wonderful attributes to God and still find faith in Him?
Yeah, we may not be able to fully reconcile it, but God's attributes still hold true. He's also perfectly wise in all of His ways. He makes no mistakes. And so we hold all these things together. I think when we think of tragedy, though, the reality is, in the end, we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a part of our broken, fallen world. We are all going to die. And sometimes it's sooner than later, and it's more heartbreaking than other times. But we will all go the way of death. And so there are times that we aren't able to fully reconcile all of these things. And part of the reason is that if we could fully comprehend God, then we can say, move over, God. I'm God, too. Mm-hmm. There is mystery. There is an inability in the creature to fully apprehend the Creator. So when we talk about knowing God, we're not talking about knowing God perfectly, but we're talking about knowing God truly. Mm-hmm. You can know God truly without knowing God perfectly.
So what you're saying is your life has fallen apart. You've lost everyone you love. You're practically destitute now, but God is good. Carry on smartly, basically?
No, I wouldn't say carry on smartly, but I would say hold on to that which you know to be true about God, that He is good, that He is sovereign, that He is loving. You know, one of the classic examples is Job. Job lost everything. And in the end, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be His name." But mm-hmm. then we see Job, he goes on. He has a lot of questions. And in the end, God comes and God questions him. And Job says, he puts his hand over his mouth and says, "There's a lot of things I don't understand."
Mm-hmm.
And so there's much we don't understand. But there's a lot that we do understand. And we do understand that God is all of these attributes that we see in Scripture, and we hold them. And I think part of it, too, is that God gives us faith, and we're not left to ourselves to say, believe all these things by yourself.
Mm.
God gives us faith and grace, and He enables us to trust Him even when we don't understand all these things.
Yeah.
Is this type of thinking for believers? Because it'll be difficult for, and it's difficult for a lot of believers, but it'll be difficult for somebody who does not know God to wrap their minds around the fact that you're going through difficult times. Because the Bible said you will go through tribulations and still hold on to it. So this is this really geared towards believers who have some knowledge of God, or can this transcends the persons who don't even know or probably even thinking about wanting to get to know God at that point?
Well, certainly believers would be the primary audience, but also an unbeliever who grasps that God is love and God is perfect and God is just and God is holy and God will judge. So there's certainly benefit that can come to a believer, but the but the unbeliever's starting point is salvation, is coming to know this is what you may call university. You know, we're talking about the attributes of God, trying to understand and know who God is. So that's really not so much the starting point for the unbeliever, although in the conference, the unbeliever will hear the gospel. And it is the gospel that is the power of God into salvation.
Yeah. We want to talk about the conference and get all the details of it. But here's a question going back to what you said earlier about my false idols. This person's asking, what are some of the examples of the idols worshipped by Bahamians? Or what or who do you consider to be an idol being worshipped in the Bahamas?
Oh, I would say any one or thing that is not the true and the living God is an idol. And people are, they're into religion, into their church, into their denomination, into their practices and their rituals.
Political parties?
Their political parties. Yes. I mean, you say that jokingly.
But no, many, I actually quite serious.
Many do believe that their parties are their saviors.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we know is that idols always come down.
Wow.
God always causes idols to come down to help people to see that you cannot trust in them.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. So you got a number of great speakers who are going to be presenting. Tell us about them, then we'll get into the dates and times.
Yes.
But who can we expect?
Yeah, well, this year we're going to be having speakers we've had before. Locally, we're going to be having Pastor Julian Russell from Covenant Life Presbyterian Church. Also, Pastor Bryn McPhail from St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, and Timothy Trico from our church, and myself. And then we're having back with us Pastor Jarvis Singleton from Redeeming Grace Church in Green Acres, Florida. And for the first time, we're really blessed to have Pastor Ken Jones from Glendale Missionary Baptist Church in Miami, Florida. And Ken Jones is well-known in the U.S., very popular conference speaker, so we were happy that he was willing to come and be with us.
Mm-hmm. I like that it's cross-denominations. So this is a couple of denominations in there, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. So this is a big one, the cost to attend the conference.
The cost is free, and that is inclusive of meals. We have breakfast and lunch on Friday and Saturday sessions for the conference. And one of the reasons we have done this as well is one of the things we observe is that in the church broadly, there's a lot of buying and selling. There's a lot of merchandising that takes place. And so we have made a commitment that the conferences that we offer as a church will be free of charge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're able to do that because of the primarily the support of the members of our church who financially support the church, but also through the partnership that we have with Covenant Life Presbyterian Church and also St. Andrew's Kirk Presbyterian Church, they are contributing to the budget as well. So it's good food. It's not throwaway food. It's good food.
Okay. How many people can you accommodate?
We can accommodate right around 100 persons with the distancing that we have to maintain. Mm-hmm. So, and we have some overflow areas if we have that. So okay. We can probably go up to 140 or so.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. All right. So it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Tell us the times.
Yeah. We start on Thursday evening at 7:30. And then one of the things we do is we have Q&A after each session. And that's good because, like, you ask questions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when a speaker is speaking, he can't cover everything.
Right.
And so the audience will get a chance to ask questions. And then on Friday, we start at 8:30 to 9:15. We have a continental breakfast. And then we have two sessions that day. We finish at 3:30. And then on Saturday morning, again, we start at 8:30 with the continental breakfast. And then we finish around 12 noon.
Okay. All right. This is going to be very exciting. And it's all going to be, is it at your church?
Yes, it's going to be at Kingdom Life Church, number 25 Chesapeake Road. We're also going to live stream it for those who aren't able to attend. So you can go to our Facebook and YouTube channels, Kingdom Life YouTube, Kingdom Life Church Bahamas YouTube, Kingdom Life Church Bahamas Facebook, and also on our church's website, there's a link where you're able to watch the live stream from there. One of the other things that we're doing this year is we're having a representative from Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, Florida, mm-hmm. and he is going to be sharing information about theological education, those who may want to study for the ministry or those who may want to study counseling and other subjects. It's the first time we are having him to come. So I think that's going to be great for those who may want to learn about that. And one of the things that COVID has done is COVID has caused them to increase their online offerings.
Yeah.
So there are some who that would really work for. Mm-hmm. And then they do have some on-campus requirements. But then you can work them out in the summer or something like
Excellent.
That.
Excellent. Excellent.
So that's something that we're looking forward to.
So the conference is free, but you would like people to register.
Yes, registration is required, and thanks for reminding us of that. And the reason is we need to know the numbers we need to prepare for in terms of food quantities.
Is there a deadline? Is there a deadline?
There's going to be a deadline. There's a deadline, which is the 1st of May. 1st
June.
Of June, sorry. 1st of June. It cuts off. But if we have walk-ins, as we've had in the past, it just means that your name tag would not be pre-prepared. You just have to have it handwritten. And so if you go to kingdom-life.org, the registration link is there, and you can register for the conference.
Wonderful stuff. This is great stuff that you're doing,
and
all the pastors who are involved, thank you so much. We have to have you back soon. Some things you mentioned today, I think we need to expand into full conversations, Pastor Moss.
Yeah, I would love to do that, and then maybe this year you'll fall up on your threat and attend.
every year, he's trying to get me out there. Especially now that you're live streaming, I think it will be a little bit easier for me to be a part.
Take the live stream.
But thank you so much, Pastor Cedric Wall. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Pam.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Morning Glen Business, we're talking with F&M leader Michael Pintard about the budget. That's straight ahead. Stay with us.
You got to trust God and give him time. No.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care. For every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Imagine driving your dream car, doing all the things you never thought you could, like perfecting your parallel parking skills or picking up your date. Everyone loves to dream. Stop dreaming. Start driving with a brand new offer from Scotiabank. With an auto loan from Scotiabank, benefit from no payments for up to 2 months, a low interest rate up to 9 years to repay, and free insurance for the first year up to 2.5% of the loan amount. Promotion ends June 30th, 2022. Stop dreaming and start driving today with an auto loan from Scotiabank.
Wherever you're headed, Custom Computers know-how team is standing by to help guide you in the East and the West. We now have two convenient locations on Patton Street in Palmdale and our newest store in the Caves Village Shopping Plaza through the Blake Road entrance. Discover the latest products by top international brands and the knowledge you need to unleash tomorrow's technology today. Drop by Custom Computers out East or out West. We're open Saturdays from 10 till 4.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is the Guardian News Network update on the hour. Hello, everyone. I'm Charlene Ferguson. An internal audit into the salary scales of finance and accounting officers concluded that the Treasury Department paid to a list of officers sums which were in their unilateral estimation due without Ministry of Public Service and Governor General letters of promotion or reclassification. That's the required human resource authorization for public sector salary rates or changes to them. That audit, completed by Director of the Ministry of Finance's Internal Audit Department, Kevin Archer, was the basis for controversial comments by State Minister for the Public Service, Pia Glover-Rowe, last week that those workers overpaid themselves some $4 million without authorization. The audit does not reference that $4 million figure. It does make note of procedural irregularities and inconsistencies in how those salary scale adjustments were carried out, and recommends that the Treasury Department be advised of their breach of policy and that the solution should be to immediately regularize all anomalies and inequity. In other news, National Security Minister Wayne Monroe says he was on the phone with Housing and Transport Minister JoBeth Colby-Davis for part of the time she was having a dispute with a police officer during the Carnival Road event. He told the Nassau Guardian Colby-Davis called him to verify her identity to the officer, who did not believe she was who she claimed to be. He claimed that from what he could hear, there was no hostility in Colby-Davis's voice during that interaction, and that there is a video which shows that she did not hit the officer with her car. Colby-Davis has repeatedly denied claims that she injured that officer. And while confirming that at present there is no case of monkeypox in this country, the Ministry of Health and Wellness says a man is in isolation here after having recently traveled to countries where the disease is present. We're told samples have been obtained for processing and that his only known contact is his wife, who is not showing signs of monkeypox. That's what's making headlines at this hour. Stay with us. AP Update is next.
I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. This is Memorial Day, the day the nation remembers its fallen military service members. Today, the president will lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier at Arlington National Cemetery. This just a day after grieving with family members shattered by the loss of loved ones after a gunman killed 21 people in Uvalde, Texas. What to do now? Senator Chris Murphy, a Connecticut Democrat, on the Zoom meetings he had over the weekend with Republican senators.
These are serious negotiations, and we are going to continue to meet through early next week to try to find some common ground.
He was on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Congressman Mo Brooks, an Alabama Republican, says the solution to tragedies like these is to help troubled people before they get a gun.
What we have to do is stop the motivation that causes these criminals, these horrific individuals, to do what they do.
He was on Fox News Sunday. I'm Rita Foley.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up. It's a new day.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Glen Business on this Monday, May 30th, 2022. Welcome back to our Morning Blend listeners. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn along with Pamela Musgrove. And this morning, we are again talking about the budget communication, the presentation last week as the debate will get underway shortly. And to give us their analysis, their views, the leader of the FNM is joining us live this morning, Michael Pintard. Good morning, sir. Great to have you on the show.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you, and good morning to Pamela as well.
Good morning.
All right, so let's get your brief summary before we get deeper into it. Your overall assessment of what we've heard so far and what you've read and seen so far of this 2022-2023 budget.
We have had an opportunity as a caucus to get together prior to the budget to look at what we saw as the critical issues the government ought to have addressed. And we wanted to make sure that we were not in a reactionary mode waiting to hear and then comment. We have followed very carefully what was promised prior to the election. What the government has done over the last 9 months. And so we wanted that to be a part of our, one, asking the government to address the following issues, and then two, to put on the agenda for the country what we believe are just important matters regardless. Having heard the budget, we then just made notes in terms of things we thought were missing or that were not addressed. And one of the things that stood out to us is we didn't feel that there was sufficient focus on what the government intended to do to grow the economy. Because even prior to 2019, both political organizations acknowledged that we were growing at a very sluggish rate and that it was important to grow the economy in a manner that we could certainly absorb the unemployment that existed in the market and then prepare for more persons who are seeking to join the job market. We also knew that we were spending far more money than we were earning. And so there was a need to generate new revenue, particularly earning foreign currency as a means of closing the deficit that we're experiencing as a country. So we're looking for signs that the government has a handle on how to, in fact, reduce the deficit. We also know that we're spending an inordinate amount of money on debt servicing. And the government has had signaled in its fiscal strategy report several things. Among those things, the government has talked a lot about how it intends to manage our debt in a way that we can take some of the funds we are spending to service these loans and to make sure that we restructure in a way that we can save those scarce resources and apply those to either recurrent expenditure or to capital development that had been projected by this administration. We're very much concerned that the growth component is not reflected sufficiently or adequately in this budget, and that the government, there's a disconnect between what was said in the budget communication and what the government just said a few months ago in its fiscal strategy report. And we have not in Parliament had any discussion about the adjustments that they were going to make, and they are required by law if they're going to deviate from this report, that they ought to come to Parliament and indicate it. So we had concerns about that. We thought it's a good thing that they did in terms of seeking to benefit educators who are underpaid, benefit nurses who are underpaid, and love the idea of a retention bonus. However, as we suspected, that they did not have obviously adequate discussions with the very sectors that they hoped to benefit, because what was initially indicated in the budget, those short on details, have already been rebuffed, particularly by the BUT. Again, we needed specifics when they talked about the things that were encouraging, assisting educators, assisting nurses. But without having the details, it was quite difficult for us to comment on it other than to say, you know, this is a move in the right direction. We have 300 nurses shortage prior to us losing the government. So we're in a tough position, and more nurses are seeking to find better opportunities in either the US or Canada. But you know, the devil is in the details, and this budget in many ways was short on very specific details on how the government intended to execute what they had in mind. Their promises to the public service, but these are things that in the natural course of governance are entitled, that is, public servants are entitled to. So, for example, their increments and so on. It was paused during the height of the pandemic with a commitment to reinstate the following year. And so to the extent that the government makes available to public servants the things that they are already due is a good thing. We have no criticism with that. I mean, one of the things we've said before is that the government is very good at overselling and under delivering. And that's been a problem, you know, for multiple administrations. And so again, we see, in the candies that have been offered to members of the public, that, you know, they're overstating what it is that's actually being executed. But we're not going to take fault with anything that certainly benefits the Bahamian public. But we do have to ask, based on some of the promises made, what is the pathway for finding that money to get to the finish line? Mm-hmm. Clearly, we see that borrowing is the principal means by which the government intends to pay for the wide range of things that it mentioned. But we have not heard what other ways they're going to explore to pay for a number of the things, because clearly there appears to be an increase in expenditure in some areas. Where's that additional money coming from? There's cut in several areas of taxation, yeah. In terms of excise tax or reduction of duty at the border, etc. So that's a loss of income for the government. The question is, and we're not taking issue with that at the moment, I'm just saying that we need to know if at all your expenditure is increasing and you're introducing some fees in some areas, in your estimation, will these measures allow you to pay in a sustainable way for what this public is being promised that you're going to deliver on their behalf?
So I want to talk more about that. You just said it a few minutes ago, candies. You said that after during the press conference, after the presentation as well. So when you keep saying that, what do you think? These are just enticements out there that are not achievable, or what do you mean when you keep saying that?
No, I think the Prime Minister is a very pragmatic politician, and that he recognized the areas in the country that are quite frankly concerned about their welfare, and it will not take them a long time to become disillusioned with a new administration unless that new administration zeroes in on the long neglected needs that these particular constituencies have. And so I thought certainly we thought the budget was framed in a way to touch those communities without giving the specific details in most instances of what, in what ways they're going to be touched or to what extent they're going to be touched. And so despite the standing ovation from members of the government, the real test of the value of what is being offered is how those constituencies respond to what is being offered to them. So we use the term candies because what is true is that you can offer something to somebody and on the surface it tastes good, but in the long term, as you consume it, there's cavities can develop. I think already based on the response of several of the communities affected by this budget, they have concerns about the details. So if you're an educator and you're being promised hypothetically $1,500 up front, this increase and another $1,500 down the road. And then this is for any kind of retention or bonus. Again, that's not the most attractive proposition, but while the speech is being delivered, it sounds wonderful. If you say to nurses, we're going to increase your income, the question is by what amount? And then what is it that you're providing that will be a difference maker for us? Because it's one thing to, in a marginal way, to increase the income of a nurse when they can still, in a dramatic way, earn far more. And I don't presume that any government can match what they're being offered overseas, but certainly we could show in a very tangible way that we want to do something meaningful in changing their revenue. And then equally important, I believe, is are we changing the conditions under which they work? At 2:15 this morning, I got a call from a citizen who, had a child that is out in the draft, facing some challenges, and the hospital is having very serious challenges. This is not new. This has happened under successive FNM and PLP administration. So it's one thing to talk about revenue. What is the short to medium term, and then of course long term plan to change the physical plan, as well as the making sure we have the requisite number of professionals in the hospital, in the healthcare system that help our citizens to survive. I thought that we were short on details, but again, the presentation was framed in a way that it was just to touch many communities. But you have to, as you look much closer, and I'm sure we'll get into some of that in the discussion, you will see that, you know, some of the things that elicited the largest noise in beating on the desk are things that are not transformational by any stretch of the imagination. This was really more of the same. It was a very populist budget, appealing to people's initial reaction. And you could get a lot of reaction because, I mean, you're coming from a situation where people were locked down. We're emerging out of COVID. People have a new sort of lease on life. Some of them would say, in terms of now trying to get back into their business, trying to breathe life back into their business, et cetera. So, the government has a window. It's a window that they have to use wisely in terms of doing meaningful things, that rhetoric can't solve. Hard work alone is what's going to be required.
But they have promised that they wanted to bring down the cost of living. And, you mentioned it. Some of the duty-free items are going to hit people in the positive way in their pocketbooks.
I think each of those have to be looked at. You'll hear some of our thoughts on it by former Minister of State for Finance, Kwesi Thompson. But during the course of the debate, you'll hear greater details from us. So for example, let's just pick the elimination of duty on some items. And while there are segments of the community that will welcome that, the real discussion should be, can we make some structural adjustments in the way this economy is, and what should those structural adjustments be? I would say that it is good to hear a prime minister talk with the frequency that this prime minister is talking about the importance of food security. I think that that is a step in the right direction, and so we don't take issue with that. But again, we must go to the details. So if you are seeking to develop the poultry sector, that is both meat as well as eggs, right? Then you have to ask the question whether or not reducing duty on items that are where Bahamians are already uncompetitive. In terms of, we have seen in this region as a place where certain cuts of the poultry they just simply dump it in the, they make a tremendous amount of money, and it's difficult for domestic, industry to get off the ground if it has to compete with, the tremendous competition. Now, we're not knocking competition. What we do know, even under WTO structure, is that you have the right to offer a degree, and for some people they call it a bad word, I don't, of protection from those industries that are developing, right? And so I find it interesting that the government has made the choice in some of the elimination on some 15 or so food items. They've made the choice that that in the short term, they're going to look at providing a bit of savings to the consumer. Granted, it's passed on to them. There's no guarantee in that, first of all, right? That a store can now import at a better rate and it's going to automatically pass it on to the consumer. As opposed to the government trying to assist or ramp up domestic production of eggs, domestic production of poultry. So the figures you heard them mention in terms of what they are allocating to the poultry producer, while that is a step in the right direction, it is in large measure nullified by the duty that it is in fact, the duty removal that it is providing on some of the same items you are giving the poultry producer. And so I did see in my mind, I saw a disconnect between developing a domestic industry versus reducing duty on these items that are coming in. And so we're going to look at each of those duties and to see what choices the government is making in terms of the structural shift. Are you truly trying to put agriculture, increase the contribution of agriculture to the GDP? Because right now, the truth is we're importing $1 billion worth of food, $650 million or so from fresh fruits, vegetables, proteins, which would be include poultry, beef, small ruminants, etc. And if you're interested in developing that industry, that requires a substantial cash injection, both from the public sector as well as from the private sector. And what I did not hear in the numbers mentioned by the Prime Minister, I did not hear a pathway to any serious development of the agriculture sector. And again, I'll take a closer look over the course of the next few days before I contribute to the agriculture component, but I didn't see it.
But like you said, I think that's a structural issue because the duty was high in order to discourage that foreign component. But I think the fact that Bahamians pay more for locally produced goods than imported goods is a challenge. And during this time when prices are increasing, I think it's so structural that we need to get to the bottom of that and fix that. Because if I'm confronted with a choice to pay higher for Bahamian good that I can get cheaper imported, I'm going to go with the import once it's of good quality.
Right. So on that, I think, you know, that is an excellent point. But let me give an example of, again, why the disconnect exists for me. Things like lettuce, the microgreens. So you're talking about 15 to 30 days. There are certain products that we are able to grow and consume. And then when you get into a 60-day period, there's a whole lot of other agriculture products that are now available. So if you're reducing duty, even though it's smaller, I think it may be 5% or so on things like lettuce, et cetera. So you're ranging from 5% to 20%. If you are minded to truly change the way we do business, one of the things I used to say when we were in, and I was not pleased in sort of the level of production, even under our administration, we have to behave as if we are in a crisis. So what can I do to get this horde of unemployed Bahamians, some of whom with some high level skill? And then what do we do with those established farmers or emerging farmers who are minded to work smart and hard in the sector if they get true support from the government, policy-wise, legislatively, resources, et cetera, and all I'm saying is there are products we can grow, we can have to consume in 30 days from right now. In 60 days, more of those items. In 4 months, more of those items. So there has to be a clear signal that the government is committed to food security at the level at which they are talking about it. Like I said, the level at which this prime minister is talking about it clearly eclipses the level under our administration. So that's encouraging. However, when you start talking about $500,000 to the poultry sector, the truth is Big Bird in Abaco should have gotten $500,000 ages ago from us, plus the 25 acres that is adjacent to their property. We should have done a crown grant for that. So for me, that's not big news, right? That's delayed contribution to a significant player in a sector that's producing less than 1% of all of the poultry meat that we're consuming. So that's not, that's moving in the right direction. But the truth is, you're talking about such a small and minuscule amount that we, if we are serious, we're going to do a lot more. We can jump into this market, the poultry market alone, and capture somewhere around 30 to 40% of this market within a three-year period. The studies have been done. We worked with the Food and Agriculture Organization.
So why didn't we do it? Why didn't that happen?
Well, I mean, again, a part of the challenge is just this slow pace with executing some critical things that affect the sector. I think the second thing was we needed to allocate more resources to this sector in order for it to move at the rate that was required. Three, we need to be more liberal in the provision of land. Now, we signed, I believe, a record number of lease arrangements, meaning signing off on the application to receive land, because land is an inhibitor. The people do not want to make substantial investment on properties where they are not, they don't have a long-term vested interest in. And so it's several things that needed to be done. One critical thing that brought more persons into the poultry space and who submitted proposals and proof of funding was the protection they received by us mandating that 40% of all food consumed by in the hotels, in the food stores, sold in the food stores, must be sourced from local producers. That policy decision we made was very pivotal in the last cabinet. And so I'm happy to hear the government continuing with that particular policy. But now to anchor that policy, now that the producers have guaranteed market, we must now, on the front end of this, assist with them ramping up production in a dramatic way. So any allocation this administration makes to the sector, we applaud. We do not criticize. All we're saying is let's not sell dreams that a $500,000 is going to be any monumental change. That is so small in the general scheme of things that it's not worth bombing on the table. That's the point I'm making.
You mentioned that you didn't feel that Budget 2022 sufficiently addressed a growth strategy for the economy. As the government in waiting, what do you think we need to be looking at in order to grow this economy?
Diversification. So, and diversification not in the mode where we are only talking about additional sectors being given leg, because I do believe this administration is on to something when it talks about the value of carbon credit, really just benefiting from the green economy in a very significant way by being good stewards, but monetizing that good stewardship. So this is a continuation of a discussion we were in, engaged in, as I mentioned in the House of Assembly. The interest of Bahamians in monetizing our good stewardship.
Did we lose?
COP25 was the really one of the largest, if not the largest, inclusion of agriculture components in the discussion around the environment. And we looked in COP25. I attended, Minister Ferrer attended, and the same experts who are advising the government with a few notable additions from the private sector, they were there. And so we believe that there's real potential in terms of us going green and what that's going to mean. That is a whole nother leg for this economy to stand on. We introduced the DARES Act so that we look at digital assets and attracting these major players from around the world to come to the Bahamas to help grow our capacity to participate in a meaningful way in this sector. That is another pillar. Now, these are two pillars that obviously are going to take time. So you're not going to see the full benefit in the short, but in the medium term, you'll begin to see some benefits. I think food security. holds a huge potential, both on the marine side as well as on the land side. So agriculture, which has never been taken seriously, or has not in the last 20 years been taken seriously by successive administration, need a real serious cash injection from the government standpoint. And then the government needs to send the right policy signals. And that's what the 40% guarantee of purchasing from local producers. And when the government spends its money, it has to spend 75 cents of every dollar on food from local producers. It's that kind of policy signal that now attracts external resources into the agriculture sector, because now private sector investors can now see that the government is serious about facilitating the development of the sector. And so they were waiting on legislative and policy signals to warrant them taking resources that they could put in the traditional tourism sector, financial services sector. And so when we're talking about structural adjustments, we're talking about really creating new legs on which we could stand. So it, what sense does it make?
This government has addressed carbon credit, DARES Act, yes, and food security. I'm saying, is anything that's not in this budget that you feel as the government in waiting that the government needs to focus on in order to grow the
economy?
Yes,
but I think small business development. Small business development, we were coming in at about 50 million. We are combing the pages now to identify if only that amount. We heard it stated, but I certainly I couldn't tell you this morning specifically where it is. We know in the first 9 months, there was minimal movement in this regard. And if there was movement, it probably was narrowly in partisan circles, because certainly the general public is still asking about the role that SPDC can play. So I think that ratcheting up, to go back to what the present deputy prime minister had said when he was in opposition, there is a need for a huge investment in micro, small, medium-sized businesses. And that requires a huge injection of capital. That capital, for example, can go to helping entrepreneurs who are operating in the blue economy and in the orange economy. There are many entrepreneurs that have the potential to attract the world to the Bahamas or to go global themselves through their creativity, whether it is the visual arts, the performing arts, and other genres of the art. But they are undercapitalized, and there is a narrow pathway for them accessing resources to expand their business. It is a multi-trillion dollar business in the global arena. We have some examples even in this region, Jamaica being the most notable, of how they've utilized the orange economy in terms of generating consistent foreign revenue. And so the Bahamas, we are missing a marvelous opportunity in that space. The same thing is true about the blue economy, whether that is it's mariculture, aquaculture, as well as using, for example, species that we have in our water that are underutilized. That is going after the pelagic or the deep water species of a variety of marine products, including deep sea snappers. That means retrofitting vessels so that they are in a position to go after the pelagic species. We are not utilizing that. We recently passed the Fisheries Act before we demitted office. And one of the requirements of the Fisheries Act is to study and then quantify what is the amount of various marine species that we have, so that we can set policy in the sustainable harvesting of those species. Right now, we have lobster as our main export in terms of the marine space. We know, based on knowledge of what's in our water, that there are other species that can be exported, but what we are unclear on is what is the volume of that and what is the rate at which we can permit the export. So I would have loved to see greater investment in finalizing that. The studies, which is not, wouldn't take an inordinate amount of time.
Okay, I think we're breaking up there. Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back and pick this up. We're talking with the leader of the opposition, FNM leader Michael Pintard. This is Morning Glen Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
History has taught us that in crisis, humanity will always respond with innovation. What world-changing technologies will emerge from humanity's latest challenges? How can the Caribbean capitalize on the metaverse, blockchain, hybrid work, and more? Join us at the RF Economic Outlook Conference under the theme Future Forces, World-Changing Ideas, where we will explore the future of work, investments, technology, and more. The journey begins on June 8th. Reserve your seat today at www.rfeoc.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Stand on Bahamas, it's your boy, Sawyer Boy. COVID is clearly unpredictable. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. I'm young, and it still put a beating on me. I had no other option but to go to the hospital. I remember the doctor telling me if I had waited one more day, I wasn't going to come inside here alive. You don't want to be in the same position that I was in. Vaccines may not stop you from getting COVID, but it can stop you from getting COVID the way I had COVID. You don't want that way.
Hey, Kaliko, I coming back, man. I gotta go in Lucha real quick to see my Grammy. She ain't feeling too good.
Miko, you think you're going away without me? I'm the still boy. This your little cousin, Miko. I go in.
Kaliko, you know I ain't get enough money for a 3 years, man.
Well, it's a good thing for you. Bahamas Vessels fly free to the Outer Islands, Miko, with the 2 fly free promotion.
Oh. You know that?
Ah, don't do it. Good boy, go back up your stuff, yo. And you think I stupid, Miko, your Grammy living in Long Island? Ah, don't do it. I come in.
There is no better time than now to go on a family getaway to the family island. Go to BahamasResidence.com for more information.
Imagine driving your dream car, doing all the things you never thought you could, like perfecting your parallel parking skills or picking up your date. Everyone loves to dream. Stop dreaming. Start driving with a brand new offer from Scotiabank. With an auto loan from Scotiabank, benefit from no payments for up to 2 months, a low interest rate up to 9 years to repay, and free insurance for the first year up to 2.5%. of the loan amount. Promotion ends June 30th, 2022. Stop dreaming and start driving today with an auto loan from Scotiabank.
It's time for your morning business report brought to you by CFAL. The government intends to remove the customs duty from roughly 36 food items amid an historic rise in inflation. Prime Minister Philip Davis, after presenting his 2022-2023 budget communication, tabled the excise amendment bill and tariff amendment in the House of Assembly last week, which detailed the changes to the customs duty rate reductions. The majority of the food items being made duty-free had a duty rate of 5%, including cheese, lettuce, salad, beetroot, turnips, cucumbers, peas and beans, asparagus, celery, sweet peppers, hot peppers, eggplant, spinach, pumpkin, corn, a whole lot more. Take all morning. You can read about it in today's Guardian Business section. Additionally, prepared beef, pork, and turkey being reduced from 20% to duty-free. Protein powder being reduced from 40%. And vegetable-based flours from 35%. Raw ground nuts from 10%. And mashed potatoes being reduced from 35% to duty-free. Other foods like chicken eggs are being reduced from 30% to 5%, chicken parts from 30% to 10%, and duck from 10% to 5%. Again, more in today's Guardian Business section. Chairman of the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce and Employers Confederation, Crystal Rutherford Ferguson, saying that the ongoing budget exercise is arguably one of the most, if not the most, important for the Bahamas at this time. Last week, Prime Minister Davis outlined a number of tax breaks and reforms to help bolster government revenue while also alleviating some of the hardship Bahamas have faced as a result of rising inflation. Amid them are reduction in real property rates for commercial properties, lowering the customs and excise taxes on dozens of food items, and building and electrical materials, as well as manufacturing parts, and reintroducing business license fees for commercial banks, and requiring that financial service providers and insurance companies also now pay business license fees. Overseas, Russia saying today that it may use an arrangement similar to that used for payments for its gas suppliers to pay its dollar-denominated foreign debts. The newspaper quoted the finance minister as saying that Russia will offer the holders of its Eurobond obligations to accept a payment system bypassing Western financial infrastructure. Russia previously has offered the customers receiving its natural gas to establish an account in dollars or euros at Russia's third largest bank, then a second account in rubles. The importer would pay the gas bill in euros or dollars and direct the bank to exchange the money for rubles. The system was established on Russian President Vladimir Putin's order and aims to avoid a risk of payments for gas being frozen as part of Western sanctions against Russia for its action in Ukraine. Closer to home in your market watch, recapping trading on the BISX. From Friday, your market movers, Bahamas Waste moving 100 shares, closing unchanged at 975. Cable Bahamas moving 1,000 up 5 cents, closing at 335. CIBC First Caribbean Bank moving 1,022, down 60 cents to $16. Consolidated Water down 1 cent to 268. And Emira Incorporated down 5 cents to 1225. The BISX All Share Index closing at 2,416.81, down 31.00. That's your Market Watch, and that is your morning business report brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations. And tune in to CFAL Talks tonight. They'll be discussing some of the key highlights from the budget presentation. And the comments from Minister of Finance and Prime Minister Philip Davis. That's 6:30 p.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are back here with Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Pamela Musgrove. We are talking with Michael Pintard, leader of the FNM, getting his reaction to the budget communication last week. And we lost you there, Michael Pintard, but I think you were talking about lobster exports when we lost you.
Yeah, I was just simply making the point that lobster export is our largest export in terms of the marine species that we have in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. But there's potential to export a whole range of other marine products except conch, which we ended prior to the meeting office. We felt that given the risk to conch, that it was not a wise thing to do. But in order to determine the volume at which we will permit other species to be exported, it is important to complete the studies on what quantities exist in each of those various species. And this is something that these studies can be conducted in under a year. And so it would have been wonderful for the government to allocate additional resources to the Department of Marine Resources so that they can, with other private sector environmental groups, conduct those studies. And so we can, again, generate additional revenue, because we believe that there are other species that can grow to rival lobster over time. Again, the studies would need to be done as a prerequisite to confirm that supposition.
Mm-hmm. You don't take any issue with the conch banning conch exports, though?
No, that was a position that we took. So the measures being announced in terms of how to manage the count resource of measures that I left in place while minister. So we completely support those. So again, the orange and blue economy hold huge potential, we believe, in terms of making some structural adjustments in the economy. I know we have really less than 6 minutes, but so let me just say this again. The fiscal strategy report, which is a requirement by law, signal to the international community as well as to the domestic community what the government intended actions are. So it is disconcerting that, one, first of all, it was never tabled in Parliament so we could debate those ideas. It was released online. And even with it being released online, there was a disconnect between the Prime Minister, the Financial Secretary, and Minister Halkidis on content. Which sends mixed messages to the international community, which we unfortunately believe will be reflected in the rating agency's assessment. We believe it is already reflected in the reaction of the international market to our when you look at the rate at which our bonds are trading. People are not buying what we're saying in large measure because we are not speaking with one voice on what strategy we are following. This is made worse in this budget because this budget departs from what is listed in the fiscal strategy report. And I admit there may be new evidence or information that has informed those persons in finance why they needed to pivot away from the fiscal strategy report. However, what is required of the government is that they ought to, by law, it is required that they come to Parliament. They ought to explain really what is it that caused them to move away from what they had projected themselves. One of the things they said in the fiscal strategy report is they listed all of the ministries they intended to make cuts to. And so we just want to understand what has changed. They denied that this was a strategy they were going to follow, but it was in their report. And now we hear nothing else of it. So a number of notable things. One is they talked about generating revenue somewhere in the vicinity of $1.3 billion. We were trying to figure out, and we have not yet been able to figure out, how are they going to get to this $1.3 billion that they outlined in their document. Certainly we don't see anything in this budget that could possibly get them there. We don't see any reduction in expenditure that will accrue the kinds of savings that would be needed. But certainly on the revenue enhancement side, we don't see what they're saying. So it is important that they speak with one voice and that the arguments are credible.
Mm-hmm. Want to ask you about what's in the lead of the NASA Guardian today, policy breaches and salary payouts, the audit into what's happening. I want to get your perspective from this. I know the FNM issued a statement after State Minister for Public Service, Pia Glover-Roll's comments last week, but we're getting a clearer picture, it seems, on what exactly might have happened here. What's your take on this? What's the official FNM statement on this now?
Well, I mean, it's clear that there is a cabinet conclusion that authorizes the payments to be made. Whether or not there is an execution breakdown in between is yet really to be clearly laid out. I think for the public. So. Maybe the way in which it was stated by the minister was inelegant, meaning, again, she would have to speak to that. But clearly, nothing we have heard supports that persons intentionally contravened any legal requirement in terms of how they are paid. We all heard the circular delivered by public service that clearly indicated that cabinet has authorized payments of these officers. And so I think that the Minister of Finance really ought to speak to this matter. Again, it's finance officers whose integrity is being assailed, and the Minister of Finance ought to weigh in on this particular matter.
Yeah.
What can we expect from the FNM members over the next few weeks with the budget presentation? Some of the concerns you're going to be highlighting.
Well, certainly we will talk a fair amount about a list of things that we're going to suggest in terms of growth strategy, of small business development being a critical part of that, properly capitalizing the agriculture sector and sending the right policy signals so that that can truly, truly grow. The importance of training and retraining, because even in the digital space, if we're going to take advantage of that, there's going to be a need for massive training of Bahamians so that we are not just simply creating an environment where companies, tech companies succeed. We want to make sure that we are part and parcel of that success as well. So we'll be addressing those issues. We'll be talking about the Airbnb market. How do we ensure that Bahamians get a greater portion of the Airbnb market, and how do we put in place sensible policies that do not disadvantage our Bahamians? We in the tourism sector, apart from attracting the mega resorts, there is a need for us to incentivize and capitalize Bahamians so that they can enter in at the boutique hotel and utilizing cottages as a means of more widely benefiting or more substantially benefiting from the tourism sector. We also intend to press the government on its failure to comply with the law. The government has been in power since September 16. There's been a requirement of in the law for them to disclose contracts that they have issued to whom, what amount, what is the duration, et cetera. And they have failed to do so. It does come across as if they are busy hiding the range of contracts and the amounts that they have issued. And they admit that they are violating the law, but their excuse is they have intentions to amend the law. Well, that doesn't work in the drug business. There may be intention to amend the cannabis law, but until the cannabis law is amended, persons are not permitted to do as they please in that space, nor is the government permitted to do as it pleases as it relates to the allocation of contract. So on the accountability issue, that's very important, because they are spending an inordinate amount of time reviewing what has been done under the previous administration, and talking about malfeasance and other kinds of inappropriate behavior. But they themselves right now, when they have an opportunity to model out in their behavior their commitment to transparency and accountability, they are failing on that front with multiple financial legislation. And so we intend to raise those matters once again in this particular debate. We also want to ask them about what is their overall tax policy going forward, given what is happening in the country. Are they having a realistic conversation with the population on what is required to raise the necessary capital in order to pay for recurring expenditure and capital works? So where is the white paper that they had promised in this regard, so that we could have a sensible but urgent discussion along those lines. And then in the energy space, we intend to spend a considerable amount of time talking about what's happening with BPL and solarization. We believe that this is an area where we are missing some opportunities, and where the government's failure to execute the hedge trades in September and December is now costing the Bahamian people tens of millions of dollars. And we have no idea how they are handling the cash-strapped BPL. And so we intend to raise some questions with respect to that and make some recommendations to the government as well.
Final couple of minutes. As one of the Grand Bahama MPs, are you satisfied? Are you concerned about the direction that we're heading with Grand Bahama, what you've heard so far from this administration?
No, we attended the Kwesi Thompson, Iram Lewis, and myself. We attended the groundbreaking for Carnival. We were intimately involved consistently over the last 4.5 years in helping to move the project to where it is now. So we are in sync with the government in terms of, because successive administrations have contributed to this. So we are hopeful, but we understand clearly that you are not going to, over the course of the next few months, see immediate impact from that project. That's going to take a while. So that could be 12 months out, 15 months out in terms of feeling the impact. But we're optimistic. The Grand Bahamian people are resilient. We've heard the announcement by the Deputy Prime Minister relative to the Grand Lucayan. We are cautiously optimistic. We are hopeful. We are hoping that it materialized in a way that accrues benefit to the residents. But we've been down this road before under our administration, and even prior to us coming to power. You know, Grand Bahamians have heard these announcements over and over and are thoroughly unimpressed. They were unimpressed when we were making the announcement. There was an initial excitement, but once the delay sets in, then people retreat to that original position that less talk and more action. And so we believe that was oversold. It's better to, you know, to undersell and over deliver than the reverse. But again, we're hopeful. We're not pulling against any initiative that's going to benefit the people of Grand Bahama. And so if you say we are encouraged, I would say the moment we see the present government organizing meetings with all stakeholders, inclusive of the Grand Bahama Port Authority, members of the opposition who have institutional memory on a number of things, the industrial companies that are not fully integrated in the discussion, though they are a huge, after government is the second probably largest employer in Grand Bahama. Until we have those collaborative discussions, then Grand Bahama is going to continue to have problems. This government has an opportunity to lead those discussions, and I think it is out of those types of discussions you'll see benefits going forward for Grand Bahama.
Okay. Michael Pintard, leader of the opposition and the FNM, thank you so much for being here this morning. A lot to think about, and we're looking forward to hearing your contribution during the debate and all the other MPs as well. Thank you so much for giving us some time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, both of you. Have a beautiful day. Good morning, Bahamas.
You as well. Thank you. All right. Pam, that's it for us.
Thank you, Dwight. And have a blessed week, Bahamas.
Have a great holiday weekend.
Yes.
We'll see you next week. In 2 weeks, I'll see you. Yeah. Enjoy. I'll be back tomorrow morning, though, with more Morning Blend and Morning Blend Business right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Twice Tron, have a great one. Stay tuned for On the Clock with Aaron Green coming up next.
She started spending pumpkin, bananas, peas, and corn. Red fruit, lime, lemon, orange, cassava, potato, onions, carrots. That's not good for making tea. Whee!